You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
This is the Quality News Network. The Reverend Jerry Falwell has died. The 73-year-old founder of the Moral Majority had a history of heart problems. He was taken to the hospital after he was found unconscious this morning in his Liberty University office. In Pakistan, near the Afghan border, a suicide bomber attacked a crowded restaurant today. At least 25 people were killed. The killer reportedly had taped to his leg a warning to spies for America. In Iraq, 11 people have been arrested by U.S. troops in connection with the search for three missing U.S. soldiers who are believed to have been taken by an al-Qaeda-linked group Saturday. 4,000 American forces are searching for their three comrades south of Baghdad. Factional fighting has escalated in Gaza today. At least 7 Palestinians were killed in the clashes between forces loyal to Hamas and Fatah, the two main political groups. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice met with the Russian Foreign Minister and Russian President Vladimir Putin in Moscow today. The two sides say they will moderate their rhetoric and improve strained ties. The International Nuclear Watchdog Agency reports that Iran is enriching uranium on a much larger scale than before. Inspectors have concluded that the country has solved its technological problems, according to a report in the New York Times. The Bush administration continues to stand behind embattled World Bank President Paul Wolfowitz, who has been criticized for a pay deal he arranged for his girlfriend. Wolfowitz says he acted in good faith and will defend himself before the bank's board today. The Pentagon has limited U.S. troops' internet access to popular websites such as YouTube, MySpace, and 9 others on Defense Department computers. The government cites security concerns and technological limits as the reason for the decision. Several state attorney generals have asked the online social site MySpace.com to turn over the names of registered sex offenders who use the website. They say this will protect children from sexual predators. The latest Gallup poll finds 29% of Americans approve of how Congress is doing its job, while 33% approve of President Bush's job performance. The 10 Republican candidates for president will meet tonight for a debate in South Carolina, which is seen as a key state in the 2008 presidential primary. And the Washington Times reports New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg is ready to spend $1 billion for a third-party presidential bid. This is QNN.
We want you to know about an honest source of information on one of the country's most desirable vacation destinations, Carmel by the Sea, on California's beautiful central coast. That source is the best address in Carmel, carmel.com. Just a few simple keystrokes and you're visiting a beautiful website that mirrors all that Carmel stands for. Quality, character, tradition, beauty, the great outdoors by the sea, cultural heritage, quiet, and the best shops, charming inns, superb dining, world-class art, music, and theater, a cornucopia of delights. So when you're planning your next getaway, go to the best address in Carmel, carmel.com, for tips on everything Carmel. Then put that honest information to good use by visiting Carmel by the Sea for an unforgettable getaway, carmel.com.
Russia's top AIDS specialist warns that the country's AIDS epidemic is becoming worse. There are as many as 1.3 million people infected with the HIV virus, which is spreading into the heterosexual population. A bipartisan group of senators and White House officials is meeting today to try to reach a deal on an immigration reform bill. Reuters has agreed to a more than $17 billion takeover bid by media company Thomson. The deal will create the largest international financial and news provider in the world. XM Radio has suspended radio shock jocks Opie and Anthony for 30 days for the controversial comments they made last week about sexual acts with Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, Laura Bush, and Queen Elizabeth. The IRS reports a record 77 million taxpayers filed electronic returns this year. The tax collecting agency also reports this year the average refund has gone up 2.5% to $2,255. Gasoline prices hit a new record high yesterday. According to AAA, nationwide, the average price for a gallon of unleaded gasoline was $3.07. Light sweet crude is trading at $63.17 a barrel, and at the close of Wall Street today, the Dow had a new record high, up 37 points, ending the day at 13,383. The NASDAQ was down 21. There's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Ali Dramov.
As cold runner, I'm a scrubber. I thoroughly examined her, and she's not only merely dead, she's really most sincerely dead. Then this is a day of independence for all the Munchkins and their descendants, if any. Yes, let the joyous news be spread. The wicked old witch at last is dead.
We thank you very sweetly. We're doing it so neatly.
You've killed us so completely that we thank you very sweetly.
Let the joyous news be spread. The wicked old witch at last is dead.
Just get these days every day. It's not every day an emissary of Satan rushes home to hell.
As mayor of the Munchkin City, in the county of the Land of Oz, I welcome you most regally.
But we've got to verify if regally.
To see.
If she is morally, ethically,
spiritually, physically,
positively, absolutely, undeniably, and reliably dead.
Oh, where do we begin? Where do we begin? Welcome, welcome, welcome to a very special, very joyous, very happy, very celebratory edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. I don't know what other talk hosts have done today on the liberal side of things. I know that on the conservative side of things, they're grieving. I don't know why, you know, one of their own. Of course, I don't understand what it is with these fake Christians. They're all the time about, you know, we're going to heaven. We're going to heaven. Well, get going! But you see, that's what it is. At the end of the day, they realize they're not going. Hell has a new sun today. The little imps and demons have a new soccer ball to kick around through perdition today. Because, of course, you already know there's no news in this. Jerry Falwell, at the age of 73, is dead.
Time for Tubby Bye-Bye.
Damn right. The man who said that Tinky Winky was gay because he carried a purse and was purple and had a triangle on his head has gone home to hell.
Tubby Toast!
Yeah. I don't know. There's some part of me that says, you know, Bob. You shouldn't speak ill of the dead. To which I say, bug spray. I spoke ill of him in life, and I will speak ill of him until there's no life left in me. One of the people who did more to harm the United States and its body politic is gone, and good riddance to bad rubbish. Is it possible to calculate the number of people that hateful, hateful man harmed and tried to harm with his religiously insane, fascistic babble? Is there any way to estimate, I ask you, the harm that man did to the legacy and the belief in Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian carpenter? No, there's not. There really, really isn't. So, you know, there's some interesting commentary out there. Among other things, our good friend Eugene Finnerman over at Finnerman Works writes, Jerry Falwell's First Day in Heaven, a memoir. That sure was a surprise. I thought that Hillary Clinton would have killed me in a satanic ritual. All those doctors talking about cholesterol, but who would believe a Jew? How long have I been waiting in front of these pearly gates? Isn't there an express line for Christians? If only my good friend St. Peter were here. I just learned that he retired in 1957. Professor Einstein's now in charge. I didn't understand a word he said about the weight, time, space, something, and relativity, but I sure don't appreciate being called antimatter. You know, Einstein's type just doesn't seem right here. I'm going to talk to Jesus about better casting. I'm surprised that Cecil B. DeMille didn't complain. Well, it's about time. The gates are opening, and here are St. Paul and St. Jerome to personally guide me. They insist I freshen up. I had no idea there were saunas in heaven. And they tell me that there are no golf courses here. Golf is only in purgatory. Paul and Jerome certainly are friendly. Oh, Jesus, this is a gay bathhouse. So this is my choice. I can stay in heaven as a bathhouse attendant, or I can go to... Jerry Falwell's First Day in Hell. Hello, New York Times customer service. This is Jerry. You know, God, I love Eugene Finnerman. Oh, if you're not signed up for your RDA of irony, you're not living. But in all seriousness, it's easy to speculate. If you believe in something like, you know, heaven and hell and pearly gates, there are about 9 million reasons why Jerry Falwell shouldn't be going through them. Oh, there's an old joke about Jerry Falwell arrives in hell, where he's shown a room of, and he's given a choice, and there's a room full of people being tormented eternally in a lake of fire, and he goes, oh no, that's not for me. And they show him to the next room, and in there it's Bill Clinton and Monica doing what she was very good at doing for Bill. And he says, well, you could have this room. And he says, well, you know, lake of fire versus, well, I guess I'd just as soon swap with Bill Clinton. He goes, I'll take that room. The devil goes, all right, Monica, time's up, you can leave. There's a thousand punishments that are fitting for a man as evil, as outright vile and nasty and dirty as Jerry Falwell. And I doubt if in the course of 3 hours this evening we'll even scratch the surface. But we'll try. We will darn sure try. Then, you know, that's a beginning point. I remember when, what was it, Lester Maddox? No, it was when Strom Thurmond died. And I was immediately able to envision his arrival working at the Walgreens lunch counter in hell. And of course, I mean, is there any doubt? You know, I mean, frankly, the way he died is suspect. You know, it's, well, you know, I had breakfast with him, and then, you know, well, what was breakfast? Well, he ate 19 dozen pork chops, 2 pounds of bacon, and oh, where's that? Where is that the Dick Cheney breakfast invitation to Falwell University when you need one? But really, I don't think it was found slumped, found collapsed in his office. Really? Because my guess is it's all being covered up, but it's another J. Edgar Hoover thing, and he was found in a studding taffeta cocktail frock with one of those big old House of Whoville hats on. Because at the end of the day, there was so much misogyny, there was so much sexual bigotry, there was so much hate, there was so much naked desire for power in Jerry Falwell that you knew that there was something really, really ugly, filthy, and sleazy going on behind him. But you see, and this is, you know, in keeping with our Ding Dong the Wicked Witch is Dead theme, I'd like to remind you of something. You see, Falwell's gone, but he leaves another of just about the same age, a virtual twin, if you will.
I thought you said she was dead. That was her sister, the Wicked Witch of the East. This is the Wicked Witch of the West. She's worse than the other one was.
Who killed my sister? Who killed the Witch of the East? Was it you?
No, it was an accident. I didn't mean to kill anybody.
Well, my little pretty, I can cause accidents too.
Yeah, because, and how apropos that is, because, of course, Falwell was the Wicked Witch of the East. And he leaves, still spewing his bigotry, still spewing his filth, still spewing his hate, the Wicked Witch of the West. Lynchburg, Virginia in the East, Colorado Springs, Colorado in the West. Sorry, I guess I was just I was off a couple of thousand miles when I said into the microphone, "Die, Dobson, die." I missed. Here, let me try it again. "Die, Dobson, die." So we can have fun when your immortal soul goes down to receive eternal torment for all the hate that you have painted across this land. Die, Dobson, die. Because you see, these monsters fear death, because what they love and what they crave and what they worship is power on earth over others. Because, you see, they've been taken up to that high place as well, that high mountain place, that high mountaintop, and offered dominion over the world and all of its kingdoms. And they said, "You betcha, where do I sign, old Nick? Where do I sign, Beelzebub?" Right here. Yeah, well, stop with the drama and the music and hand me the pen. So, you know, that's where we are. I don't know. There's some stuff out there. Our good buddy Clyde at WD40.com wrote in. He apparently puts on his hazmat suit. It's something that he and Dookie and Wally have started doing. They put on their hazmat suit and go for a walk over in Freeperville. And so no sooner is the word of the final mortification of the just preponderant amount of flesh of Jerry Falwell come and gone, then I get an email in my box from Clyde who says, "Look what I found over in Freeperland." This was posted by Paper Doll, whose signature includes Duncan Hunter in 08. Duncan Hunter? No, Paper Doll over at Free Republic says, "Oh, my dear God in heaven, please perform your mighty miracle on this man, your servant. Please restore him fully, his faculties intact, his bodily functions as you divinely designed them to be. I pray this in your will, O Lord. Still, I ask, please do not take this man from us, but allow him to continue to be a blessing to all who know him and who know of him. Father, in Jesus' holy name, amen." No, that was real, Agnes. That you've never been to Freeperville. It's a sick, sick, sad, ugly, hateful, twisted place. Please let him live, Jesus. But yeah, please restore him fully, his faculties intact, his bodily functions as you divinely designed them to be. Because no freepers want to be able to having to run around changing Jerry Falwell's depends. Oh, what a sick, sick, sick bunch we're dealing with. You know, for my part, you know what I feel like? I feel like getting out the old tap shoes and polishing them up and drinking about 3 gallons of beer and starting driving for Lynchburg, Virginia. Because by the time I get there, I ought to be all set to tap dance on his grave and then pee on it. And, you know, our good friend Billy Shears wrote in to say, look, you know, the most I can muster is to feel bad for his family. And I don't feel bad at all about being glad that he's gone. You know what? I don't feel bad for his family either. He's got a son who's a right-wing lawyer. He's got a son who's a right-wing preacher who is probably ready to step into the shoes. And he's got a daughter who is, and God knows why anyone would trust a surgeon named Falwell. That's probably why, you know, she uses a different name. Who's a surgeon. And you know what? Today, they all became, and this is the sick part. Today, they all became multi-millionaires. How many hundreds of millions, how many billions was Jerry Falwell worth? You know, you talk about him being the cabana boy in the gay bathhouse in hell. Anybody seen Little Nicky? A terrible, terrible movie by Adam Sandler. But there is one precious little scene showing what happens to Adolf Hitler in hell. Let's put it this way. It involves a French maid's dress and pineapples. With the prickly part first. All the time. And that is... we as humans have a hunger for justice, don't we? We have a hunger for some sort of knowledge that justice is being done. And so it's hard not to imagine. It's hard not to spend a little time imagining the righteous retribution that would be going on in the afterlife. I've been having one of those, and I have them a lot these days. I mean, I'm not wallowing or anything. I miss my dad. I miss him horribly. One of the best things in life is if you get to the point where in adulthood you have a relationship of friendship with your parent or parents. And I'd like to say that I think I had that with my father. And nobody on planet Earth despised Jerry Falwell more than my dad. And how I would love to have been... It's happened twice now. When the Mountaineers lost their basketball coach, I got up back here in the studio to go into the front. Hey, Dad! And then again today, without even thinking, I see Falwell dead, and I'm like, get up out of the chair. Hey, Dad! But you know what? If that afterlife that we archetypically hang on to in our own minds exists, really exists, then I have to feel a little bit good. I have to be a little bit happy. Because I know now, I know that even as you and I speak, my Father is standing at the gates of hell with an eternal ice bucket, taunting Jerry Falwell with ice cubes. You hateful old bastard, come get a lick. Ah, you can't have any. Let's see. The Associated Press reporting some comments on the death of Jerry Falwell. Pat Robertson said, Jerry Falwell will be buried in a crevasse created by an earthquake that I'm predicting. No. Jerry has been a tower of strength on many of the moral issues which have confronted our nation. Then there's Paige Patterson, president of Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary in Fort Worth, Texas. Woohoo! Dr. Falwell's shadow falls across the face of the rebirth of conservative values in our nation and in the entire evangelical world. Only once in a generation will a man of his stature arise. We all owe him a debt of eternal gratitude. Now, Paige, honey, that's infernal gratitude. Oh, I bet that's a guy. Sorry, Paige, buddy. Didn't mean to call you honey there. White House spokesman Tony Snow, who, God willing, will shortly follow Falwell into hell. I think the proper attitude at this juncture is to pass on our condolences and prayers, and we'll try to do the fixing in place in history a little later. Geez, that's kind of pathetic, even for Tony Snow, isn't it? Mitt Romney. You know, the sacred underwear guy, the magic BVDs guy. An American who built and led a movement based on strong principles and strong faith has left us. He will be greatly missed, but the legacy of his important work will continue through his many ministries where he put his faith into action. Yeah, Mitt, how about his ministry to rid the world of people who don't have sex the way he wanted them to? There's a place where he put his faith into action in pure bigotry and hate. How about the ministry of demonizing people who didn't believe politically the way he did? The evil liberals. How about the Clinton Chronicles, Mitt? Let's see. Don't we have a Republican presidential debate coming up tonight? They said Ronald Reagan's name 19 times in the last debate. I wonder if anybody will try to put on the mantle of Jerry Falwell tonight. You know, it must. You think of. It must be hell to be a Republican politician, having to bow and scrape and kowtow and go around and talk to insane people and tell them you believe in the insane crap that they believe in. Presidential candidate John McCain. Dr. Falwell was a man of distinguished accomplishment who devoted his life to serving his faith and country. Our thoughts and prayers are with Dr. Falwell's family at this difficult time. Go to hell, John McCain. Newt Gingrich. Newt Gingrich will be speaking, or would have been, side by side with Jerry Falwell at the Mooney University. You know, Jerry Falwell University was bailed out by the Moonies a few years back. This weekend, Newt Gingrich said. His life is a testament not only to the power of faith to move hearts, but to the strength of the American ethos that stresses the importance of citizenship. He was a great leader, a person totally sustained by his faith, but able to work with many people from many different backgrounds without imposing rigidity on anyone. Newt's doing acid! No, this is just filthy stuff. Without imposing rigidity on anyone else? There hasn't been a bigger doctrinaire, the bloodthirsty bigot since all the Inquisition popes. Lord God. Rudy Giuliani. Ah, Rudy. This one ought to be tough for Rudy. He was a man who set a direction. He was someone who was not afraid to speak his mind. We all have great respect for him. He is a person who told you what he thought, and you knew where he stood. In other words, Rudy didn't think much of him. And Mother always told me not to say something bad about somebody. If you couldn't... something I saw it in Bambi. If you don't have something nice to say, don't say nothing at all. That's the flower rule, isn't it? No, the thumper rule. That's the thumper rule. Oh, God. Of course, there was at least a little bit of honesty in assessing the Jerry Falwell. Unfortunately, we will always remember him as a founder and leader of America's anti-gay industry, someone who exacerbated the nation's appalling response to the onslaught of the AIDS epidemic. Hey, there's some famous last words. Remember when he said that AIDS was the punishment God had exacted upon the gay community for not having sex the way God wanted them to have sex? We will always remember him as a founder and leader of America's anti-gay industry, someone who exacerbated the nation's appalling response to the onslaught of the AIDS epidemic, someone who demonized and vilified us for political gain, and someone who used religion to divide rather than unite our nation. Matt Forman, Executive Director of the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force. And then there are the words, well, I'll tell you what, we'll be at this a while. You know, I've often promised you that I would not do impaired radio. I am profoundly tempted to open up a bottle of Bottled in Bond 100 proof rye liquor and toast that old evil bastard right into hell. We can just have a sort of anti-wake here on the Head On Radio Network. What do you say? Nah, I guess there's other stuff we gotta do. More's the pity, though. More's the pity. Look, how do you feel about it? This is your chance. I'm not gonna castigate anybody for what they say about this vile old demon who finally, from whom the earth finally got a reprieve today. When evil men die, you remind the world of the evil that they were. This was an evil man. Share your thoughts, 877-443-2366, or on your nickel, 304-658-5453. You're listening to America's liberal voice. You're listening to The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, They can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
This is Billy Shears. Join me every Friday at 11 on Foxed Up with John Fox. Each week, I'll feature an artist and a song with a little commentary, and we'll examine why music plays such an important role in our social and political climate. We'll try and make it fun, informative, and entertaining. That's here on the Head On Radio Network, The Horn, with John Fox, every Friday at 11 a.m. And for music and political commentary by great liberal minds, check out my website at unreportednews.net. This is Billy Shears, and hey, thanks for lending an ear.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be ye warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
Demanded possession, this court's in session. Sign my confession, demonic possession. Raining on the day she told me the things that fell asleep. Mama wasn't there to scold me. No prison or cell could hold.
Some musical fun tonight with many kudos to a host of folks, including, of course, our good friend Billy Shears and our IT professional Peter Godbold, who has provided audio for the program tonight. Our good friend David in Middle Tennessee has provided audio for tonight, because somehow or another, there's just something about Jerry Falwell that you know... No, he doesn't sneak off slowly, quietly into death. This is the kind of person that you have to talk into the grave to make sure that he damned well stays there. Vile, filthy piece of human garbage who spent his entire existence making other people's lives more miserable. Am I remembering something wrongly, or did he blame Katrina on the gay people in New Orleans? Was he part of that? Because I know that he was damn sure part of blaming gay people and liberals and people for the American way for 9/11, and got away with it. Yes, Lord, yes. Let's do go to the phones. The speaking of our good friend Peter. Peter joins us now from Florida. Hey, Peter, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob. Yes, you know, Falwell did say that it was the gay folks in New Orleans that caused Katrina, but, you know, God punked him again because, you know, the French Quarter was pretty much left unscathed to a large degree. The strip there, you know,
yeah.
Something else was kind of devastated, so I guess God missed, but... You know,
well, you know, I know that all that smoke you're smelling down there, you thought was from the forest fires.
Do you think it's hell rising up?
That is hell opening up to welcome Jerry Falwell.
I knew hell was in South Georgia. I always knew it. It started in the Okefenokee Swamp, and it's now taking Florida first because of the Bush legacy.
Exactly.
No doubt. But the thing that really angers me, there's so many things to choose from. It goes back to him... making remarks that sort of encouraged people to bomb abortion clinics. I can't remember his exact words, but there was some reference to how that wasn't a particularly bad thing. But, you know, when 9/11 happened, we were all devastated, and it was a terrible atrocity to happen to us, and by linking gay people's name to that, gay folks to that feeling of anger in the general population, he further enhanced and further supported open season on gay people. And
yeah.
We see it day after day. You don't see it in the mainstream news, but you see it in the gay publications that track that sort of thing. And so, you know, if sexual orientation is about as important as being right-handed or having blue eyes or having brown hair, it's a stupid thing to talk about.
Yeah.
Ridiculous to talk about. And, you know, I get tired of talking about it from that point of view, but damn it, as long as there's open season on gay folks, I'm going to talk about it.
Well, I don't see how you cannot.
No.
You know, saying that someone is an inferior... Saying that someone is an inferior human being because of the geographical location of where they were born. Saying someone is an inferior human being because of the color of their skin. Saying someone is an inferior human being because of their sexual plumbing, be they male or female. This is all incredibly stupid.
And by their feminist politics, all of those things were linked to 9/11. All of those were he listed as the reason. Now, of course, later there's this lame apology that isn't really an apology, but some sort of lame apology. And I confronted a woman in our little Bible study group one day. She was talking about, Jerry Falwell something or another. He was sick or he sprained a finger. I don't know what his particular issue was. And, you know, I said, you know, something to the effect that, you know, he was an evil, despicable man, and you know, she looked at me. She was in shock. But there are a lot of people that
he
don't
was a
understand.
Good. He was a Christian. He was a model Christian. He was a model for how we should live our Christian lives. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, whatever happened, you know, because these fundamentalist freaks. And wait, Peter, let me back up for a second. You said, you know, as long as they try to make an issue out of it, I'm going to talk about it. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Because. I don't know how to get it across, but when I talk about not treating people poorly based on some freak, some accident of birth, some freak of nature or whatever you want to call it, I'm talking about human rights. Okay, I really believe that all people are created equal or all people are equal under the sun. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, it's not gays versus Falwell or liberals versus Falwell or other fundamentalists. What it boils down to, Peter, this is a battle between normal people and freaks.
Oh, and I can underscore that to it 1,000%. You know, ever since I've been involved with the Head On Radio Network and being in the chat room and having, you know, bunches of friends in there, 99% of them are heterosexual. I have always been accepted with open arms as people love me, and I love them back. Because sexual orientation is absolutely not an idea, not an issue whatsoever. But you hear the song that you play, Voices from the Grave, Gotta Stop Bush, It's About the War?
Yeah.
Well, you know, in a way, I guess I'm the lone voice in the wilderness doing that for gay people. I'm speaking of the voices of the grave from Matthew Shepard, the fellow that was just killed in South Florida. We've got voices from the grave too.
Oh God, yes.
The feminists have voices from the grave. The women who have died in, you know, with
back alley abortions, sure.
Yes, and
or beaten to death by their Christian husbands and so, yeah, sure.
And I can just hear the fundies right now. Well, that boy, he's all for abortion. He wants to kill the babies. Nobody wants to kill the babies, but by God, a woman, it's between the woman and a doctor and her higher power.
And, of course, I disagree that abortion is baby killing.
Well, I do, too.
I mean, you know, I'm a very fair-skinned person, and I've been sunburned a lot through my life, and I've got these little moles and stuff, and I should probably have them taken off. It's just a wad of tissue. It's a mass of cells, okay?
Well, it's true.
And it needs to be removed. That is what a fetus is.
Well, from a biblical perspective, I believe that the breath of life is you're supposed to take when your first breath is when life. That's it's from a biblical. It's funny how.
Oh, don't remind them of what their Bible says. That just makes them crazy.
Well, yeah, it makes them crazy, but they want to embrace science on some level when it supports some sort of oppressive agenda.
Yeah, you suppose science was brought into play there when they found Falwell's the festering hide laying on the floor. You reckon they got out those scientific. Those scientific defibrillator paddles and gave him a few hundred a few joules of current.
Oh hell yes they did. They were over there CPRing the hell out of that lifeless sack of fat.
why wouldn't they just stand? Why didn't they just lay hands on him and pray?
Well, that's because they knew better. Because
the magic doesn't work.
Right. yeah. There's the. You know, a lot of educated people and you know, gentle, concerned, and thinking people will testify to the power of prayer, and others don't. And, you know, it's not for me to say. You know, if prayer works for you, fine. If it doesn't, this is what bothers them so much. They cannot handle anything open-ended. They cannot handle that your relationship with your higher power can be different from somebody else's.
Nope, there's only one relationship, and it's how they define it.
Exactly.
And that's why I love, I, and in a way, I'm not prone to talk about what my own particular beliefs are, but it felt when I jumped up to go and tell Dad that Jerry Falwell was finally dead. It was like getting a little gift from my dad because I immediately got the image in my head. Of him with a big old ice bucket teasing Falwell with ice cubes outside the gates of hell. And I knew that was from Dad. You know what I mean?
Yes, and he was, if for that moment in time, he was there. There's no doubt about it. Is that correct? He was there with you.
Yeah. And it was comforting. It was, okay, well, Dad, if that's, yeah, you know, and because, it would have been fun. It would have been.
How dare I or anyone else question that? These are matters of the heart. What the? Who do they think they are? There's nothing that.
But
says
please
Dobson.
Bear in mind, you know, Dobson is about Falwell's age. I think Robertson is actually older. And the tendency, Peter, is to think, well, okay, when this generation of religious hucksters and power mongers and hypocritical, the blood sucking goons is gone. You know, maybe we can begin to heal the nation.
Well,
but remember, Falwell has a son who's a pastor, ready to step into the multi-billion-dollar shoes. Because this has nothing to do with the teachings of Jesus Christ.
No, it doesn't. And this man has stood directly in the way of many people's relationship with love and what Jesus' teachings were. He's acted as a millstone, and he's stood in the way of the children, of the sheep, as it were.
Yeah.
That being the case, there's a very heavy penalty for that, according to Jesus, anyway.
You know, and that's the thing. This isn't about the teachings of Jesus. This is about the teachings of Adam Smith, because there is a whole boatload of money and power to be taken right now. And I bet you there's going to be some serious Christian squabbling.
Yeah.
Oh, there'll be a praying and a laying on of the hands, Brother Peter, I tell you what.
They're going to wait 5 days like Reagan waiting for him to come up from the dead. You know they will.
Probably tie a little string to his finger and a bell outside the dirt just to make sure he's not one of them dead ringers.
You know, one thing I heard on your program, it's been an awfully long time ago, but it made a definite impression on me and it really gave me some perspective, was there was a discussion one night about things that did not come from the church. For instance, the movement to allow women to vote. That movement did not arise from the church. That arose from the secular community.
Sure.
The movement to free the slaves, that didn't arise from the church. That arose from the secular community. There were several examples, and each of them were as powerful as those two. And it just gave me a real clue there. Why do they have to be drugged into the future kicking and screaming? What is wrong with those people?
Here in West Virginia, Peter, and throughout Appalachia, when people were dying in coal mines and trying to organize themselves into a unit that could deal fairly with the coal companies, and the thugs were breaking in homes and beating the hell out of people at night, killing wives, shooting children, murdering organizers, all of that, the drive toward that economic freedom never came from the church. There were paid preachers in the pulpit screaming that to join the United Mine Workers of America was communism.
Yes, and there's a wonderful movie, if you guys haven't heard of it. I know Bob's seen it, and I've seen it. It's called Matewan. Matewan.
Matewan, yeah.
Yes, and it's no doubt available at Blockbuster. You got to see it. And the preachers were in on it. They were... What is it about that? Preachers are just...
They stood in the pulpits all over the American South and used the writings of St. Paul to justify slavery.
And they're cheaper than crack whores.
Yeah. I mean, they mostly do. I mean, the Falwell didn't work for cheap anymore.
Well,
but, you know, what about that verse about, and of course, I realize this is utter hypocrisy coming from, liquor-swilling, cigarette-smoking me. But the fact of the matter is, I don't say that that book controls my life. But these people that say that, I'll live my life by the Bible. Was Falwell living by his life by the Bible? Was Falwell treating his body as the temple of the Holy Spirit that it says that it is? Have you seen how corpulent that old bastard was?
Oh yeah, he was. Yeah, that's what I made a little crack in the chat room a while back. They're going to be having pork cracklings in hell tonight. Couldn't resist.
Yeah, Jerry Cracklins.
Yeah, and you get the Pope. He's the same way. He's far more articulate than Falwell, and he does it in white robes and ruby red slippers. But nonetheless, some of his remarks are just as divisive.
Well, just as hateful too.
And they rubber stamp the whole attitude.
Don't say rubber when you're talking about the Pope. It's illegal.
Oh, that's right. Not even latex.
No.
Well, anyway, it goes to back up the whole mindset of women bad, gay people bad, people who don't like war bad, and he talks about peace and all that, and maybe that's to his credit, but as far as human rights, they're so far behind, it really is an amazing thing to me.
And we are going to be, if we ever succeed, Peter, I mean, there's no promise that we will, we are going to be decades, a generation, clearing this filth.
Oh yeah.
That Falwell brought to the culture. I mean, a generation, because.
And the church has undergone irreparable damage.
He was almost single-handedly responsible for the ethical and moral murder of the Southern Baptist Convention. And I mean, that's all there is to it.
Yeah.
Taking it, because I mean, as a kid, I was raised in that church, and I saw it as it was way back when. And then Falwell had this change of heart where he left one Baptist denomination to become a Southern Baptist, and he brought all that sweat and all that power and all that money and all that stroke into the Southern Baptist Convention and turned it on its head. From an organization that had been distinctly apolitical, refused to get into politics, wanted nothing to do with politics, because after all, the Southern Baptist Convention was formed out of a desire to keep, those people the dark-skinned ones.
Listen,
out of our lily-white pews.
Yeah.
So they wanted nothing to do with government.
Did you see the movie The Eyes of Tammy Faye? If you haven't, you should. She goes into a long discussion about how, and I believe it was Falwell, if I'm totally wrong, someone correct me, but how he basically stole the PTL network.
Oh, he did. He came in and stole it lock, stock, and barrel.
Yes, he promised them all these things and interest and payroll. And I mean, this stuff was worth billions of dollars. We're talking satellites here.
You know, I ran out of time for pulling stuff together for the show, Peter. But to the same extent that the other night we played Bill Hicks, if there's anything out there that should be played tonight, it should be the audio clip of the late, great son of a Pentecostal minister, Sam Kinison, saying, and, you know, if this kind of afterlife exists, this is one of those moments when I sincerely want it to, because part of his routine used to be to stand on stage, Peter, and say, I want to be there at the pearly gates when St. Peter looks at Jerry Falwell right in his beady eyes and says, where did I say to build a water slide?
yeah, that's a classic line. It really is.
And that question is being answered now.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And if you believe, you know, look, I don't know. Okay, let's have a little spiritual moment. If you and I can't have a spiritual moment on the air, I don't know who can.
Yeah, if it's not us.
I don't buy into pearly gates. I don't buy into, most of the, because those are analogies and myths cooked
they
up
are,
by
they
people.
Are physical constructs taken from our own experience.
Right, and they were created by people who lived in dirt and squalor and filth.
There you go.
So streets paved with gold is, you know, they would have been happy with that. You know, people 2,000 years ago, they'd have been happy with asphalt.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I don't buy into any of that garbage.
Yeah, and heaven would, by definition, be incomprehensible anyway and beyond words.
But I believe that there is, you know, there's some sort of spirit energy out there. I don't know what it is. I don't profess to tell anybody what it is. I'm not sure, but what the universe itself may be a living thing. You know what I mean?
I believe that is a true thing.
And there's something that motivates us. There's something that is in us. There is that spark of life that is in us. That leaves us.
Yes, this is true.
And it goes and it becomes part, because, you know, a scientist can tell you that the law of conservation of mass and energy says that mass is neither created nor destroyed.
Yeah.
And the same with energy.
And what we're doing here is we're representing the spiritual world and in the scientific world in the same way that the pearly gates are represented in heaven.
Yeah,
we're doing the best we can, though.
Right. And so I don't know how it happens, but I think if you're hateful enough, that when you die, the energy of your hate does not go in back into the general population of the universal energy.
Well, yes.
That's what the ancients meant when they said that you would be separated eternally from God.
From that point of view, I'd have to agree with you, because if we accept that there is a positive energy that leads us forward and wants us to see better things for other people and better things for ourselves, even better things for the world, then by definition there has to be an equal and opposite if we're going to use a physical representation.
Right. So I don't know if that's the answer, but I think that the definition of hell as the separation from the rest of, because the rest of the God energy or whatever you want to call it, is as viable as any other. It's right up there with the flying spaghetti monster, theologically speaking. You know, when Pastafarians die, Peter, they get strippers and beer. But you know, that's the Pastafarians.
Yeah, I'd be happy with big speakers and a disco collection.
Well, see, right? You know, I mean, it's all there. But you know, there's no doubt that the way he treated human beings on Earth manifests the fact that Jerry Falwell separated himself from the decency and the goodness.
Yes, and the definition of sin, in my humble opinion, is that which separates us from God. And what may separate you from God may not be the same thing that separates me from God, i.e., the way we have sex.
Yeah, right.
And any number of other things.
You know, I'm reminded, when did Falwell ever enter a prison to visit someone who was rotting in jail?
Oh, gee, I don't know. I know he flew diamonds on his airplane to...
Well, that's true. When did he visit the sick? You know, because there's that list. If I was in prison and you didn't visit me, I was sick and you didn't tend to me. I was homeless and you didn't put a roof over my head. I was naked and you didn't clothe me. The billions of dollars that have flowed through Falwell's ministry did nothing along those lines. Instead, all those millions were pumped, Peter, just pumped into hating people for how they have sex and hating people for what kind of reproductive plumbing they have, and hating people for what color skin they have, or what country they came from, or what border they were born behind. Is there any doubt that that man separated himself from the good forward energy of the rest of humanity?
In my mind, and there's an example in terms of what you're saying about helping the sick. You know, the diamonds on those airplanes, those are supposed to carry life-saving drugs to those people, and the life-saving drugs were offloaded to make room for the diamonds, you know, going back and forth. So,
exactly.
Yeah, he really screwed up big time. And we've got these big guys, you were reading some quotes earlier, we've got the big guys just a moaning, saying what his stature is undeniably that, the mirror of God.
Well, is the Republican debate tonight?
Well, yes, I think so. Somebody said it's in South Carolina, is that right?
That's what I was thinking, and if indeed that is the case, I am curious to see how many of them will mention his filthy name.
Oh, they've got to because they're already ticking the Republicans off. You know, the log closet Republicans have endorsed Giuliani, and they are ticked. Oh, they're ticked, buddy. There was a $1,500 a plate fundraiser. The other night, and there was one gay Republican couple, and they said, well, we paid $1,500 for this plate, and he's offended us, and we're part of the Republican Party. And I'm saying, well, duh!
You've offended yourself!
Right, exactly. And he was trying to describe himself, and he said, I am an American first, and I'm a Republican second, and I'm gay third or fourth. And I thought to myself, what's wrong with that state? What's wrong with that order of consciousness? What's wrong with it is I'm an American first. It's not I'm a child of God first.
No, or I'm a human being. Or yeah,
right.
No.
Right. It's not that I give a damn first. It's not that I feel other people's pain and literally cry over it and try to help. It's I'm an American. The national love, you know, God. Oh, and this thing coming up, Bob, the National Day of Prayer. What a horror. I assure you, I don't ever set foot in the church on the National Day of Prayer. Anything, any sentence that mixes the word national and prayer in the same sentence is bound to be wrong. You just can't do that. There are no borders.
No.
There are no borders. And the National Day of Prayer to me is just absolutely asinine. And it comes from the bowels of Falwell and those people.
Sure it does. That's where all this comes from. That's the point that I'm trying to make here, Peter. I remember, and I'm old enough that I remember an America that was not divided by sick evangelical political religion. He invented this hate. He drove this wedge into America. I mean, he drove this. Let's face it. It was a stake that he drove into the heart of this very nation.
I agree.
Wasn't it?
I agree, and it was well planned, and it was well financed with the IRD and the Institute on Religion and Democracy, whose mandate is to infiltrate the church, and it's all tied together. And the Heritage Foundation is a central part of it.
Yeah, exactly. And well, I tell you what, it's news time.
Okay. Yeah, we need to hear that. Hear that lady, see if she's coherent tonight. I hope she's not back on the glue. We've really got to hire better help.
You're awful. You're just awful.
I can't help it. I was born this way.
We're bad.
I know it.
You know, I guess that's why we're going to hell.
Okay.
All right.
See you there.
Bye.
Bye.
See you there. Oh. No, okay. Ben.
Hey there.
How are you?
I'm doing great. There is news here. This is hilarious, in fact. Reverend Stressfeld.
Yes?
And the Westboro Baptist Church.
Yeah?
Will be protesting Jerry Falwell's funeral?
No.
Because Falwell says there is little doubt that Falwell split hell wide open the instant he died. The evidence is compelling, overwhelming, and irrefutable. To wit, Falwell was a true Calvinistic Baptist when he was a young preacher in Springfield, Missouri, and sold his soul to free willism for lucre. Falwell bitterly and vacuously and viciously attacked the Westboro Baptist Church because of Westboro Baptist Church's faithful Bible preaching, thereby committing the unpardonable sin, otherwise known as a sin against the Holy Ghost.
Oh, this is too good. I haven't seen any funerals that I thought it was appropriate for Fred Phelps. But go, Fred, go.
So Fred Phelps and his toothless clan.
Yes.
Will all be there.
Uncle Daddy! Yeah, that bunch.
Yeah.
Now, they're not saying that he was gay, though, right?
No, just that he says here that he praised Christ-rejecting Jews, pedophile-condoning Catholics, money-grubbing compromisers, and practicing fags like Mel White.
You know, you just can't buy that kind of stuff.
You know, we're going to find out someday. Fred Phelps will pass on, and they will then publish this huge book, which revelation that all of this has just been a parody, has been some sort of bizarre performance art theater. You know? I'm thinking that it's like one of these, you know, really, really, really grand hoaxes that we'll only find out after this generation is gone, and they reveal that they have just been making fun of us for months and years.
Yeah, I wish that was true.
Because, God, how can they be real?
Oh, but they are. They are. I mean, no,
I know.
And he gave up. So it's Calvin. It's giving up Calvinism that's got Jerry Falwell into hell.
Yeah.
I'll be darned. I never would have caught that one.
You know, I didn't think as a Calvinist there was anything you could do that could get you sent to hell.
Well, no, if you're rich, that means God loves you. I mean, that's the heart and soul of Calvinism.
Well, yeah, and you know, and it's all predestined. You know, I've never quite understood how Calvinism fits in with attempting to motivate anything like right part of it. Because there's absolutely nothing in it.
Yeah, why try? It
doesn't matter what you do.
I mean, that's like, isn't that kind of like one step away from Jehovah's Witnesses?
Yeah, minus the
blood transfusions.
The blood transfusions and Michael Jackson.
Oh, forgot about that.
Yeah.
Fred Phelps. Oh, my God. Ben, thanks.
You take care, sir.
Bye now. Oh, I'd pay for a ticket to see the Fred Phelps gang protesting Jerry Falwell's funeral, wouldn't you? Hey, maybe they can all just fight it out amongst themselves and just, that'll be the end of them. Oh, I'm just being ugly tonight. I don't care!
Boy, he's just life away.
This is The Horn, America's liberal voice. News is next. I'm Bob.
Daddy chops that sugar cane. One day he fell dead. Jesus had a wandering feeling just swimming around in his head. Sailing on a midnight boat where no questions asked. Air was so clean. The water so green, he just stuck right to his task. A ballad in dreaming.
This is the Quality News Network. President Bush has chosen Army Lieutenant General Douglas Lute to oversee the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. As Senior Deputy National Security Advisor to the President for the two countries, Lute will advise on policy and put that policy into effect. The search for a war czar has been lengthy, and many were said to have turned down the position. In Pakistan, near the Afghan border, a suicide bomber attacked a crowded restaurant today. At least 25 people were killed. The killer reportedly had taped to his leg a warning to spies in America. In Iraq, U.S. forces have arrested 11 people in connection with the search for three missing U.S. soldiers. They're believed to have been taken by an Al-Qaeda-linked group Saturday. 4,000 American forces are searching for their three comrades south of Baghdad. Factional fighting has escalated in Gaza today. At least 7 Palestinians were killed in the clashes between forces loyal to Hamas and Fatah, the two main political groups. The International Nuclear Watchdog Agency reports that Iran is enriching uranium on a much larger scale than before. Inspectors have concluded that the country has solved its technical problems, according to an article in the New York Times. The Bush administration continues to stand behind embattled World Bank President Paul Wolfowitz. That's despite widely criticized pay deal that he arranged for his bank employee girlfriend. Wolfowitz says he acted in good faith and will defend himself before the bank's board. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice said Russia will not veto the U.S. plan to put a missile defense shield in Europe. She made that statement today during a visit with Russian President Vladimir Putin near Moscow. During the same visit, the two sides agreed that they will ease up on the tone of their rhetoric to improve strained ties. The Reverend Jerry Falwell has died in Lynchburg, Virginia. The 73-year-old founder of the Moral Majority had a history of heart problems. He was found unconscious this morning in his Liberty University office. He was taken to the hospital where he died. Throughout the 1980s, the television evangelist was seen as the face of the religious right in America. And the Pentagon has limited U.S. troops' internet access to popular websites such as YouTube, MySpace, and many others on Defense Department computers. This is QNN.
Here's good news about your money. Monterey County Bank has won the Bauer Financial 5-Star Superior Rating for financial strength and stability, making it one of the safest banks in Monterey County for your money. It's nice to know your money is in a safe place, but there are even more reasons to bank with Monterey County Bank. They now have 4 convenient locations in Carmel, Monterey, Carmel Valley, and Pacific Grove. And Monterey County Bank is the oldest locally owned bank, now celebrating its 30th anniversary serving you. Here's another important point. Local businesses have come to trust and rely on Monterey County Bank's position as the county's number one SBA small business lender. Safety, convenience, and local people you can trust. That's Monterey County Bank. Stop in at one of our 4 branches and find out why you can bank on us. Monterey County Bank, SBA preferred lender and equal housing lender, member FDIC.
A new government study finds men who take a high-dose daily multivitamin may increase their risk of dying from prostate cancer. The study found heavy multivitamin users were almost 2 times more likely to develop a fatal case of the disease. That's compared with men who never took vitamins. Experts say more research on a possible link is needed. The study will appear in tomorrow's Journal of the National Cancer Institute. And Russia's top AIDS specialist warns that the country's AIDS epidemic is becoming worse. There are as many as 1.3 million people infected with the HIV virus, which is spreading into the heterosexual population there. Reuters has agreed to a more than $17 billion takeover bid by media company Thomson. The deal will create the largest international financial and news provider in the world. Limited Brands, Inc. announced it will sell 2/3 of its Express stores to a private equity group for $548 million. And one attorney called it a settlement of historic proportions. He was talking about Tyco International's agreement today to pay nearly $3 billion to shareholders in one of the biggest corporate fraud cases in U.S. history. Light sweet crude is currently trading at $64.50 a barrel. At the close of Wall Street, another record for the Dow. It was up 37 points. There's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Laurel Crisson.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
Thirteen minutes past the hour, a little late into the news, but, you know, hey, that's why we do this, where we do this, and how we do this. We can invent radio the way it ought to be. When we're in the middle of something, we can get to it on our own terms. You know what? As you all know, I'm pretty fond of my congressman, Nick Rahal, and I say a lot of good things about him. And we agree on the war, and we agree on what a bunch of criminal thugs this Bush administration is. But let me show you why I could never be a politician. Show you. Damn, come on, Bob. It's radio, for the love of God. Let me explain to you why I could never be a politician, and why Nick Joe, my congressman, good guy, has managed to stay in Congress for low these 30 years. Now, you've just heard about, 74 minutes of truth-telling about what a piece of rotting, fetid, I'm trying to think of an animal low enough that it skunk poo that Jerry Falwell is. And on the other hand, I want to share a press release from you from the office of Congressman Rahal. Dateline Washington, U.S. Representative Nick Rahal, Democrat, West Virginia, issued the following statement upon the death of the Reverend Jerry Falwell. Quote, Pastor Falwell's life is reflected in Scripture. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Reverend Falwell took his talents and multiplied them in public dialogue, education, and always pastoring. Our thoughts are with his family, those who his life touched, and those rewarded by his faith. And that's why I could never be a politician, because you have to be able to put that stuff out there in the public stream of consciousness and live with it. I think it would have been appropriate to say it is a pity that Falwell used his life. On the other hand, if you're going to say that he touched many lives, you can at least reference the fact that some of those lives he touched harmfully, deliberately hurtfully, negatively, painfully, and deleteriously. But you see, bless his heart, Congressman Rahal is here in the 3rd Congressional District of West Virginia, where you have to at least give lip service to believing in the local ignorant magicians. Okay, because it's what we're dealing with here. Jerry Falwell wasn't a minister of the gospel. He wasn't a pastor. He wasn't a shaman. He wasn't a holy man. He was a magician. He was a magician, plain and pure and simple. And you have to pay lip service to the people who believe in the magicians around here, who believe the insane, hateful crap that Jerry Falwell believed in. Because there's no way you can look at Jerry Falwell and find anything even remotely related to the teachings of Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian carpenter, whose very genetic material probably flows in the veins of people who are dying over there today from a bad case of U.S. taxpayer-funded lead poisoning. Because you do remember that genetic study a couple of years ago, it got suppressed immediately. The one where they took mitochondrial DNA from Israelis, and they took mitochondrial DNA from Palestinians, and what they found out was rather shocking, because they expected to find two different races, so-called, of people. But what they found out instead was that these were all the same people, related right down to the very essence of their DNA being. And the study was immediately quashed, because you can't have people realizing that they're fighting over a bunch of insane crap. So, you know, that's I just feel bad. I just feel bad from I feel bad for Nick Rahal having to put out something like that and just kind of, it had to put me off my dinner. Because I'm sure Congressman Rahal no more believes that Jerry Falwell is a man of God than he believes he was the man in the moon. But that's the kind of stuff you have to do if you're going to be successful in politics, in a place that is up to its absolute hairy little knuckles in superstition and magic and religious bigotry. All right, to the phones we go. David is calling from Maine. Hey, David, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Bob.
How are
you? You know, if I was that congressman, I would have just put my my condolences to the Falwell family. Not Jerry Falwell, but the Falwell family. That's what I would have done.
Yeah, I guess you can. Yeah, you can do that because, you know, maybe they miss him.
I mean, either than that, he's just kissing up to the religious right.
I mean, that's what it was. That's what you've got to do. There's a certain amount of shamelessness that attaches to it that you have to yuck.
You know, when I was listening to AC/DC Highway to Hell, I thought of something. I thought, well, this is an appropriate thing to put on his tombstone. All's well that falls well. Thank you. Good night.
Good night, Cleveland.
Yeah. You know, I was going to mention. I was wondering if for prayer meeting you're going to play. I would really like to hear. I think everyone would like to hear that. The thing I sent you. I'm just a child.
I may try to pull that together. Yeah.
Yeah.
What
do you think of that?
Oh, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
For my part, though, David, I'm kind of pissed off at Falwell. He really could have waited until tomorrow to collapse, so we could have done it right and had this be a prayer meeting and not completely just thrown the schedule into chaos.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's also that you've seen that Family Guy clip, right? With Pat Robertson and Falwell.
Yeah.
After the rapture, yeah. You could put that on your vlog too. There's another story that is under the radar, and it says May 14th. I don't think anyone's mentioned it today. May 14th is the official deadline for cable modem companies, DSL providers, broadband over power line satellite internet companies, and some universities to finish wiring up their networks with FBI-friendly surveillance gear.
Saw that today.
To comply with the FCC's expanded interpretation of the Communications Assistance for Law Enforcement Act.
I saw that earlier today, and actually, if we had gotten away from Falwell, kind of had that on the plate for tonight. Yeah, what does that mean, David? Do I read this right? This now means that the government can listen in on your streamed VOIP streams without a warrant, without any kind of court approval. They can spy on your blog. They can look at your web page. They can read your email. Is that what this means?
Well, it says Congress passed CALEA in 1994 to help FBI eavesdroppers deal with digital telecom technology. The law required phone companies to make their networks easier to wiretap. The results on mobile phone networks where CALEA Tech has 100% penetration, it's credited with boosting the number of court-approved wiretaps a carrier can handle simultaneously and greatly shorten the time it takes to get a wiretap going. Cops can now start listening in less than a day. So they have 100% penetration on a...
Well, we got nothing to hide here, so, maybe they'll listen in and learn a little bit. But
right.
No, I that's an oversimplification, David. It's disgusting.
Right. I really don't know. I think I was reading a thread today on the which is my next topic, on Above Top Secret, which I think has the best, Bob, the best groundbreaking forum, message board forum in the world. If you ever want to know how to do a message board right, go to Above Top Secret and just look at it and just be in awe. Those guys worked at it for years, man. My hat's off to those guys, seriously. And they built it from the ground up, just like you're doing the Head On Radio.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, the forums, I mean, my God. If you guys haven't seen AboveTopSecret.com, you guys just got to go to look at the forums. And the cool thing about it is they have three mega forums. So they have one called Above Top Secret. There's so many message boards, nobody could get to them all. They have Above Top Secret, they have Below Top Secret, they have Politics Above Top Secret. So they really know what they're doing in terms of like how to get the people in to interact. And also they have a good system of points and flagging and great moderator system. And I don't know, I'm just very impressed by what they said, which leads me to a post that I saw today.
Yeah.
And I'm going to leave it with this, and then that's it for me tonight. It's called Is America Worth Patriotism? You can find this on Above Top Secret. I'll give you the link so you can, you know, whatever.
Okay.
Send it to people if they want it. But anyways, the post is called Is America Worth Patriotism? I have read through post after post, thread after thread, some for, some against America. I'll speak of something I know about America. You, America, have not lived up to the treaties and agreements that you made with Native Americans. You fight tooth and nail through the courts, then bitch and moan when the evidence is not in favor of the majority of the descendants of those settlers. Unwilling to give what you agreed to, yet buying goodwill abroad at a thousand times at what you owe the first Americans. This is the shame of a nation. You king took what was not yours, and now your children are unwilling to even live up to the agreements your government put down in black and white. And yet, you want the world as a whole to show you respect as the land of the free and the home of the brave. Until you show the world that you will be faithful to your promises to Native peoples, you cannot expect them to believe you elsewhere. You lost respect when you first chose profit above right. It has been a long road into darkness, and it has led to today. What worth is your patriotism if it is built on lies? Why should the world think that America is the good guy when you cannot, will not fulfill your word here at home? So put forth your answers in support of the good America that you try to impress on other lands, or else fall silent in front of the evidence of history. This nation was founded on deceit and aggression, on plunder for those with might. Let none speak untruth. America has a past as takers of willful aggressors. Why should other nations expect different now? I am now as an American as any. I fought for this nation. I have earned the right to speak, and this holier-than-thou attitude is hypocrisy. This nation is out for what it can get, and the devil takes the hindermost. Your pious cries that no one understands, the sacrifices of America to make the world a better place, are no more than the whinings of a spoiled child. I see and hear daily these cries of how pitiful it is that the world lacks sympathy for how much America tries to aid the world, how no one really understands. I understand. I know that you are trying to buy the world's goodwill, all the while hiding your own diseased hands from view. It is a fraud that pays for the food of another man's child to eat, all the while letting his own go hungry. It is a liar that preaches human rights and does not practice that at home. It is a charlatan that says they have answers to the crisis in another land and turns a blind eye to their own doorstep. You cannot police the world when you show corruption in your home place. I post this not that I expect debate, for what is to debate? All of you know that while we spend millions on other nations, some of our own people go hungry. You voted for those that cut federal spending for school lunches. It is your representatives in those hallowed halls that draw fat paychecks and generous retirements, while there are people here in this land of plenty who put their children to bed without supper. You are the ones who vote time and again along party lines to return the same a-holes to seats of power. I expect no response here. I post this to the shame of America. There is little to discuss when it comes to such failures. You lack the will to hold those who are your voice in D.C. to any type of standard. But if you think the world at large fails to note your shallow behavior, you're wrong. You cannot expect to have respect until you show yourselves worthy of it. Why is this rant here? Because this is a conspiracy of complacency. You are collectively too self-absorbed to do more than vent at a keyboard. You have your SUV at the curb, your microwave dinner ready, so go on and ignore this. It is the way of this nation to ignore the truth. It is the way of those here to look for faults in others, all the while downplaying their own part in this tragic drama. I will anger the majority with these words, but until the majority choose to work to clean house of the scoundrels to right the injustices here at home, then there is no use in decrying those in other nations that have no respect for the ugly American. And wanting the truth from the government will not come about until you choose to force it to. Your endless search for the smoking gun in 9/11, for UFOs, for anything at all is doomed to fail until you make the effort, the full-time effort, to be responsible citizens. And that means more than whittling away some free time jawing over points of contention here on a forum. It means work. It means voting. It means emailing demands for constructive change. It means marching when you would rather be home resting. Do you have it in you to change America? Because you are America. There will be no accountability until you hold yourself accountable. There will be no disclosure until you divest yourself of secrets. If you think me wrong, if you think there is an excuse for the way our nation plies the water of the world, by all means, speak. But hear the words from those abroad as you do. We are no longer a well-loved nation. And if you close your eyes to the reason for this, we will fall, and the fall will be great.
Well, you know, there's a lot of truth in that, David. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and I'll send you the link to the post.
Well, I know. I'm looking at the chat room. I know a few people have already gone and had a look.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Good stuff indeed. Thank you very kindly.
No problem, Bob.
Have a great
night.
Talk
to you later, man.
Bye now.
Later.
And let's see. Next up, Phil in Daytona Beach, Florida. Hey, Phil, welcome to the program. Thanks for calling.
Hey, Bob. Thank you. I just read along with that, went to the website. Yeah, there's a lot of truth in that.
I think, you know, but I think there's an element of people in this country, none of ours, I don't think, who ascribe, and I don't remember if it was Mao or Hitler or Stalin or, you know, one of those evil bastards, who said, I don't care if they love me as long as they fear me.
Yeah, I think it was maybe Stalin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that, you know, that's, we want, the PNACers, the Republicans, the conservatives, they want to be feared. Because they're Cosa Nostra types, they're thugs, and that's the way they behave.
Yeah, and they're right in your face. They're like, you know, you what are you gonna do about it? And that's what we've been experiencing for the past 6 years. These guys just running roughshod and basically, you know, thumbing their nose at us. And I am so. I think this Congress, we got to toss them all out. They're complicit. They're complicit in not standing up to these bastards. They've got the blood on their hands. They've allowed our Constitution to be trashed. And you know what I say, Bob?
What?
Well, like the television, I say don't feed it.
Yeah.
You know? And like this whole thing with the Falwell, you know, when you first started tonight, I thought of this this exchange on Hannity and Combs one night. There was this Professor Kevin Barrett up there in Wisconsin or UMadison, something like that, who was part of the 9/11 truth, you know, and mm-hmm. he's one of the scholars. And they had him on Hannity and Combs, and a few times around, you know, those guys just beat the heck out of these poor guests. And the last time he was on, he laughed at them in their face. He made, you know, I thought of Molly Ivan's final column, the last column before she passed away, and she said, make the ridiculous look ridiculous, you know, and just... Because I really believe if we engage these people, we give them power, you know. And if we just...
Well, that's why I said the other night, Phil, that I have no use for a right-winger on this program. I encourage debate. I encourage dialogue. I encourage discussion. But I'm not going to sit here and listen to some goober tell me that we have to fight them in Iraq because if we don't, we'll be fighting them here. Like they're all going to get in little rubber seahorse swimming pool rings
and start
paddling for America.
Exactly. That's the response we should throw at these people. You know, we should not... what I'm learning, actually, and I've watched it work, like you know, if you Google Hannity and Kevin Barrett, Google video, you'll see him. You know, because Hannity and all these guys, what they do is they call them, they just verbally abuse the heck out of them, calling them nutcases and everything. And this guy was giving it right back, and he wasn't shutting up. You know, he just continued to do what they do and talked right over them. And he says, you guys are the extremists. You every night spewing your venom on air. You guys should be removed from the... And he's saying it laughingly, you know, like laughing right in their face. And they don't, you know, and he did what Molly Ivan said, make the ridiculous look ridiculous. And the power shift in that is incredible. You know, you just deflate them and all of a sudden you've got power.
Well, you know, I've waited a long time, it seems. I mean, and this is not story hour or anything, Phil, but you reminded me of something that I'd almost, I don't think of very often. As far back as high school, you know, I took part in speech and debate back when high schools had speech and debate.
Yes.
The year after I won one state championship, I won regionally and was supposed to go to got injured, couldn't go. But I won in extemporaneous speaking and it was one of those luck of the draw kind of things where you draw the topic and you just have to go off the top of your head on it.
Oh, yes.
And the topic I drew was Jerry Falwell, Moral Majority. And I just let
between
loose.
Between you and your father, it must have been.
Oh, I let loose. I let loose 5 minutes of fact-based invective against Jerry Falwell, and you know, boom, off to state championships you go.
Yeah.
So I've got, you know, I've got a long relationship of following this freak.
I guess so. Yeah.
And I've waited a long time for this rotten, putrid bastard to shuffle off this mortal coil. But there's more to it than just my disdain and my distaste for this monster. And it's stuff that very few people really know because there's no reason to know it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you way back in the dim and mists of time, you know, I don't know, 30 years ago, somebody will correct me. There was originally a requirement that broadcast licensees, Phil, had to fill a certain part of their broadcast day with public service,
right,
broadcasting.
So
and that,
you see them on at 3:30 in the morning.
Well, yeah, and that's you know, and that's what they did. Or
yeah,
but then there was a rule change a few years later that said that religious broadcasting could qualify as a fulfillment of part of the public service requirement of the licensee. Now, up until that time, the public service stuff that the broadcasters did had to be, I mean, it was basically free stuff, and they'd put it on at 3 o'clock in the morning,
yeah,
like you were talking about. All of a sudden, though, they could fulfill their public service requirement by selling time to huckster preachers like Falwell.
Right.
Who would then spend the hour trying to fleece little old ladies out of their Social Security checks so that they could in turn pay the broadcaster bill to keep their program on the air.
And pay the legislatures that at the FCC who got the ruling for them.
Yeah, so these TV preachers like Falwell really are a seminal part of the devolution and the demeaning of our public dialogue, because suddenly he could take his pulpit and the next thing you know, it's a campaign. I mean, I remember it.
Yeah.
It was from 1980 to 1988, it was nothing but one long commercial for Ronald Reagan.
Yes, I remember, and Reagan got rid of the fairness doctrine in, what was it, 87? And, you know, the you controlled them. Distribution of information, man.
But it's so important. I mean, to note how this man seized power, because this has been a coup in this country, Phil.
Yes.
No less than some beer hall putsch, and
yes,
done under roughly the same circumstances. You seize a constitutional form of government in order to impose your own twisted, sick, fascist views. And make no mistake, Phil, Jerry Falwell was a fascist.
Yeah.
He believed in the merger of religion and government and business for the purposes of consolidating power. And control,
yep. Yep.
Over the ordinary lives of ordinary Americans.
And they achieved a lot of that. Look at where we are now. And we're going to have to fight like hell to get it back. They're not going to give it. They're not going to give up this power and control.
No, it has to be. It has to be.
You got to get off our
lazy,
complacent asses and start getting involved.
So, yeah, I guess some people would think I'm being kind of cheap and tawdry for talking about him like I am, but I'm not going to sugarcoat
anything.
You guys
have a history. It sounds like it's we might be hearing this for.
No, I'll let it go tomorrow. This
you got to get it out, Bob.
I'll do a regular show tomorrow night since this is turning out to be
well,
sort of
I don't
an
know.
Early.
They're going to have the Republican debates tonight, and you know they'll be throw. Last time it was Reagan that they said 127 times, and tonight it'll probably be this fall.
It may well be. Who's carrying that?
Fox.
Ugh.
Fox News and
I don't
Ron,
think I can find
Ron
somewhere
Paul
to stream
will
that.
Be included. You know, Fox
yeah.
is trying everything to exclude him, you know, because he's actually the reality to make, you know, that makes the rest of them look like the fools they are, you know.
Right.
And that's the last thing they want is truth and justice and reality.
Is that 8 o'clock or 9?
I believe it's at 9.
Okay, so that'll be just as we're going off, so I won't be able to run it
yeah.
anyway. So, yeah, we'll have plenty to talk about tomorrow, and I'll probably roll some audio on it
oh,
anyway,
I
just
bet.
For fun.
I'm sure Guy will have a...
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Well, Phil, you have yourself a great evening, all
hey,
right?
Thanks, Bob.
Thanks for yelling.
You betcha.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
And let's hold up just a second there, Agnes. A couple of things. One thing that sort of rolls me into another... an email from our good friend Teresa in Canada, who says, I'm reminded of a wonderful quote by Clarence Darrow. I've never killed a man, but I have read many obituaries with great pleasure. And Lord, isn't there some truth in that? And of course, that took me to another place. Agnes, do you remember that old saying, and I forget where it comes from, but if you sit by the river long enough, the body of your enemy will float by. Well, no, it's not Nietzsche. I think it's Eastern, some sort of. But you know, there goes Falwell bobbing down the river. And you know, but I'm also cognizant enough to know that there are people out there who think that if they sit by the river long enough, I'll bob by too. And you know what? That's fine. That's just fine.
Yes, but honey, you'll give Karen a nice little token. Falwell won't. The river Styx will never be the same.
I pee in the river Styx. but you know, something Peter mentioned a little bit ago that's worth noting, and a story that was mentioned on QNN last night during our top of the hour news that I didn't get to. It was Falwell who empowered the virulent, hateful crowd that wanted to go and assault women for seeking their own seeking medical counsel by themselves without the aid of a minister of the gospel. And so yesterday, and I don't know, is there a nexus here? Is there some sort of cosmic karmic thing going on? Yesterday it was revealed that Eric Rudolph, the terrorist in this news story, he's called an anti-abortion extremist. He's a terrorist. He is a right-wing, God-fearing, Republican terrorist that the Bush administration, for all its vaunted belief in the deterrent power of the death penalty, couldn't find in themselves to impose on this admitted, unrepentant murderer. It turns out that... Eric Rudolph is taunting his victims from his jail cell. He has no email access, but he has a little network something called the Army of God, and they have a website. And he pumps out these essays and gets them out to his Army of God murder supporters. Anti-abortion activists murdering people, like Bill Hicks said. So they get posted at Army of God, and one piece he's justifying his bombing and his murdering. In another piece, he mocks, by using a different name, but it's obvious who she is, he mocks one of the women that he nearly killed in the bombing. And the Bureau of Prisons has said, well, there's really nothing we can do. Now, bear in mind, we live in a nation that comes into a man's cell, like we talked about last night, and pumps him up full of a chemical restraint called Haldol so they could try to sneak him out of the country on an immigration charge. But they won't even read a confessed, unrepentant murderer's hateful screeds on the way out and stop him from continuing to hurt the people he tried to kill? This is the love child of Jerry Falwell. This is also the Head On Radio Network. This is The Horn, America's liberal voice. We'll be back with your calls in just a sec. I'm Bob.
Up on your own. I wonder where you are. Live with all your faults. I wanna wake up where you are. I won't say anything at all. So I don't
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to The Horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters. All you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
I never thought my daughter and I would ever think the same thing is cool.
At home, my boys are like a wrecking ball. But when they volunteer, they're actually shaping things up.
Hey, they plant a tree at the local park. Clean the place up.
She makes new friends. She has a great time.
My son loves it. He's contributing.
These are nice kids.
The Are You Into It volunteer program is a great way for you and your kids to make a difference in the community while making friends. So, if you're into it, or you think your kid might be, call 4-H toll-free at 1-888-77-YOUTH. Or visit our website at www.areyouintoit.com.
We can't get him to clean his room, but he loves volunteering.
A public service message brought to you by 4-H, the Cooperative Extension System, and the Ad Council.
Hey, 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 hey.
there's another musician Jerry Falwell hated. Poor, poor Freddie Mercury. You know, the world is a lot worse place without Freddie Mercury in it than it was with Jerry Falwell in it. It stuns the conscience to think about. Let's go to the phones. Our good friend Jim is calling in from California. Hey, Jim, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Okay. I'm a little depressed. Not depressed, but let me start over. I keep looking. I guess I'm an idealist. I keep looking for justice in this universe. You know, some people tell me it's here, and I know Dr. King said the wheels of justice are slow, but they're sure. But you know, I like to see it a little more often. And when I spent the better part of the last 3 years in and out of nursing homes for relatives and things like that, and also medical facilities for other terminal illnesses that I'm involved with. It just, not me, myself, but family members, it just kind of galls me, to see a man like Falwell get out of here so easy when so many people that I consider to be better people than he was, suffering for years in these nursing homes and, all different kinds of places. I believe you went through a bit of that yourself with your, departed father.
Yeah. Yeah. I watched my mother go through a horrible death too.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem just. I mean,
it's not just
on the idea of hell and all that crap, but I think it's all here in this life. But I sure hate to see somebody get off that easy when he's caused so much misery and destruction for others.
Look, it wouldn't have bothered me in the least to find out that Jerry Falwell had died because somebody had taken him out in the desert, painted him with honey, and staked him out in the sun next to a red anthill. Okay, that wouldn't bother me because that would smell like justice.
I agree. Yeah.
Then I guess that just makes me a poor, undeveloped person with bad karma or something. But it is. I understand what you're saying. It is frustrating. But you know what? When he died, if there is some solace to be taken, when Jerry Falwell finally breathed out and did not breathe in again, you can bet that he was clutching at life, because at the end of the day, he knew he was a fraud, and that is the hell that he died and went to.
That's true. Even if it only lasted for a second, he knew it. Yes.
And he took it with him, because you see, that's something important for Jerry, for the entity that was Jerry Falwell, Jim. The universe ended today.
Yes, it did. Yeah, I thought that was a cute comment earlier about the fires down in Georgia and Florida being the hell opening up for him, and I'd like to think that was true, but I don't too much hold to the idea of hell.
And I don't feel bad about doing a little truth talking about him tonight either, Jim, because we're going to have a 2 or 3 day orgy now.
Yes.
I've already seen, you know, John King reporting from CNN has some fond reminiscences of Dr. Falwell. You know where
The media is going to be loaded with it. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
You know, they call him doctor. Do you know that he never earned a doctorate?
I wouldn't doubt that.
He was a dropout from Lynchburg Community College in Virginia, and then he went to some draw spunky Bible seminary.
Freudian slip there, huh?
Yeah. Dr. Freud, come right away. Religious magic school in, I think, Springfield, Missouri. He was awarded an honorary doctorate by like a correspondence school in South Korea. This, of course, after he got in bed with Reverend Moon.
You know, I remember you used to be able to order those kind of degrees back when I was younger. You'd look at matchbooks and they'd have advertising on matchbooks, and you could send off for your own doctor's degree to a prestigious cemetery, as you say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was another honorary doctorate awarded by an unaccredited theological waste of time and space in California. The man was unlettered, the man was ignorant, and he was propelled only by his hate. And frankly, the truth-telling that you're going to get tonight, and I'm sure that Mike Malloy will talk about it some on his program as well. I'm sure Randy hit it as well on hers. That's all the truth-telling you're going to get in America about this goon.
That's true, because the mainstream's going to be treating him like a king, you know. I mean, that's...
they're going to call him Dr. Falwell, just like we refer to Dr. King. The only difference is Martin Luther King actually worked at Harvard for his degree. Dr. Falwell got his out of a gumball machine.
I couldn't agree more. I'm certainly not broken up about it. If I'm broken up, I'm broken up that he got out of here so easy, like I said. I mean, because I've always felt that when my time comes, I'd like to go fast, and here that worthless nobody gets to do it, and who knows what's going to be for the rest of us, you know.
But if our last thought is our eternity, then his last thought is his clawing to stay alive, because he didn't believe in the hokum that he preached and shuffled off on other people either. If you recall our conversation with Dr. Bart Ehrman from the University of North Carolina, the chair of religious studies down there, he said, you know, all these people, all these ministers go to seminary, and they learn the truth about the Bible. They learn about it's the fact that it's absolutely chock-a-block with errors and mistakes and outright falsehoods, but they won't tell the rubes in the pews because, I think you can live your life by three things that W.C. Fields said, Jim. He said, my old grandpappy told me just before they swung the trap, son, you can't cheat an honest man, never give a sucker an even break, and third and most importantly, don't smarten up a chump. And see, that's the thing. The Falwells, the Robertsons, the Dobsons, the D. James Kennedys, the Ted Haggards, on and on and on, the James Robisons, the Fred Phelpses, they are all actively engaged in living Fields' third law. They are not going to smarten up the chumps.
That's true.
There is more honesty on a carnival midway than there is in most fundamentalist churches in America, Jim. You know, and look, I take no pleasure in saying this, but you know what? I'm gonna sit here and lie.
Mm-hmm. No, I hear you, Bob. I totally agree with you. I caught a couple of good Fields lines where he said his first wife drove him to drink, and he never did thank her for that.
Yeah, a fact for which I am eternally grateful.
But anyway, it brightens my day to hear your voice, Bob. I don't participate as much as I'd like to, but I think I've explained those reasons for
you. I know how busy you are.
Yeah, but I'm out here. I'm listening. I mean, when I hear you and Peter and David and Gunny Bob and all the good callers that you do have, and please forgive me, those of you I'm leaving out, I love all of you. It's just wonderful to hear something that does brighten your day and makes you feel like maybe you still have a little bit of sanity left.
Well, bless your heart for saying it, Jim, because there's a lot of evenings that I do this show, and I mean, you say that it brightens your day, and I'm glad and amazed to hear that, because there are evenings that we turn the microphones off and I hang the headphones up and I go, I'm bumming people out for 3 hours a night, and I don't mean to.
I don't think you're bumming any right-thinking people out, Bob. If some right-winger happened to stumble across your show, he might be bummed out a bit. But I don't think anybody that thinks with any intelligence or common sense at all is bummed out. I think they should be able to see it's true.
Well, I thank you, Jim. And I know the kind of efforts that you're putting in, and they're heroic. And they're the kind of stuff that really is the heart and soul of America. And I thank I, you know, it's not for me to thank you, but I laud you for it, and I appreciate what you're doing, and the times that you do call, we do appreciate.
Well, I enjoy it too, and I am there every day on the program, even if I have to pick it up on a podcast. But I love your show, and I live for it. And by the way, you're going to be off Thursday and Friday, I understand.
I have to make a road trip and go down and take care of some estate stuff with my dad's house, and then I'll turn around and come back. I will, however, if everything works out right, our good friends at Quality News Network, you just opened a door for me there, Jim. Thank you. Our good friends at Quality News Network have invited me to join Tony Seaton for a conversation on his program, America Back on Track, and that'll be sometime after the 3:30 hour Eastern time on Thursday.
Okay, well, that's certainly better than nothing, but we'll certainly be glad when you get back on Monday then.
Well, I'm looking forward to being back on Monday. I don't like being away from the microphone.
Yeah, I used to like it when you said you were jonesing over the weekend, you know, you and
I do.
Because I felt the same way, not being able to hear it over the weekend, you know. So anyway, Bob, I'm going to let you go and give some of the other callers a chance. But I love all of you, and thanks for being a voice of reason.
I appreciate it, Jim. Thank you so very kindly. We'll talk soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye now. And on to our good friend, Ed. Hey, Ed, welcome to the program.
Good evening.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing?
You know, it's a bright and shiny day in America, Ed.
You ain't kidding. I think that hell just expanded its mouth for that bastard. And it's just too bad he couldn't reach out and take the 700 Club jerk with him and Dobson and Cheney and Bush. If he could have just drug him with him. And the one fella talking about he went so fast and it was a shame.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, I don't think it was. I hope he didn't have a chance to repent.
Well, you know, there's that too, and that does matter in those circles.
Yeah, well,
I've forgotten all the theology, Ed. Now, he, as a Southern Baptist, is he once saved, always saved?
Well, because they say it don't mean it true. I'm not sure which Baptists really believe that, but I know for a fact that you're not always saved. The way I look at that is if I jump in the shoals and somebody throws me a rope and pulls me out, that don't mean I can't jump back in.
Yeah, you're not...
They can believe what they want to, but in the Bible, and you're certainly a scholar on it, there are 79 places in there that tells, you know, finish the race.
Mm-hmm.
And don't be beguiled by men. And if that doesn't apply to him, I don't know what does.
Well, I tell you what, if he'd been any more beguiled by Ronald Reagan, I think we would have had to been worried about gay marriage in the 1980s.
Yeah, well, they can put on his tombstone, here lies the truth, because he never told it while he's alive.
Hey, you and me both know, Ed, they're going to have to screw him into the dirt. He was so damn crooked.
Yeah, I just think you're doing a good number on him, and it's too bad that Pat Robinson and... And but you know, the guy that's more powerful than Farwell, that's Dobson.
I think Dobson's actually a little bit older than Falwell, but he hadn't let himself go to pot like Falwell did.
Yeah, he looked like a big hog, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. I mean, they had to put him on one of those heathen ventilators in 2005, and I still haven't figured out why they didn't let him go home to Jesus then.
Mm-hmm. Well.
But, you know, the thing is,
he was gone.
Ed, you say it's a shame he didn't take Dobson and that crowd with him. You know what? The soles of Pat Robertson and James Dobson's feet got a lot hotter today.
They're bound to be thinking about it. That's got to be on their mind. And
but, you know,
in the mirror, they've got to realize that they could be next.
You know, Ed, what tells me something about these people... you know, I'm the kind of person, and a lot of the folks that spend time listening to this program are the same sort of person. We actually sit down and think about our actions, and we wonder if we have unintentionally wounded somebody, or hurt somebody, or stepped on somebody's feelings without even trying. I say things on this program, and Agnes can vouch for this. After the program, I'll say, do you think they took that the wrong way? Because I wouldn't want anybody to hurt from something that I said that I didn't mean to be hurtful.
I think you're right. I think most of the people are about like I am. If I've left some indication to somebody that just might have hurt them, I'll go back and explain what I meant to make sure. And people with any decency and...
And see, the people who do that kind of thing, what you and I are talking about, those are mentally healthy, normal, decent, and some would say Christian kinds of people.
Yeah.
Okay? Because you do worry, you don't go reaching for the mote in your brother's eye before you've hauled the beam out in your own. Okay?
Yeah.
We think about that kind of stuff. Now, I reckon Dobson and Robertson's feet are a little bit warmer this evening, but you know what? They're not going to repent. Okay? They're not going to sit down and have that soul-searching conversation with themselves in which they wonder if maybe, for instance, all the time that Dobson spends hating people for how they have sex or what their politics are, he's not going to sit down and wonder if maybe his time and his millions upon millions upon millions of dollars might be better spent doing what Jesus talked about, and that is clothing the naked, housing the homeless, feeding the poor, visiting the people who are sick and in prison. He's not going to have that conversation with himself, because if he had it, Ed, then he would have to change his life for good and actually live the life that Christ Jesus prescribed.
Well, another thing, if the people had been led right, then we wouldn't be in that war over there. If the poor people we're talking about had the right heart, and had led the people against Bush and against this war, we would not have that 3,000 some people dead on soldiers, plus the thousands, and it's hard to tell how many thousands that are dead, Iraqis and others over there.
Yeah, do you think, I mean, since Falwell came out, and I believe he was one of the signatories to what was called the Land Letter. It was named after Richard Land, the head of the Southern Baptist cult. There were five people who signed off on it. I could be mistaken, but I think Jerry Falwell was one of them. It was a letter to George Bush telling George Bush that he had the religious go-ahead of the evangelical and Southern Baptist movement to go and slaughter as many innocent Iraqis as he felt like it was necessary in order to satisfy his bloodthirsty God.
Well, if he didn't sign it, he approved of him. He helped put him in. And you know, not only the first time, he put him in the second time after Bush had proved for sure what he was. So, but you're doing a good job on him. Can't just pound the heck out of him.
No, we're going to pound the hell into him is what we're going to do.
Well, I think he's pounded his way into hell.
This is kind of like the reverse of a wake. We're gonna escort that man personally to the gates of hell and see to it that he gets kicked in.
Yeah.
Look the little demons and say, here he is, boys, have a good time.
Well, it ain't gonna take him much help. He paved the way himself. But anyway, I really enjoyed what part of the program I've heard, and a couple of callers there, and you're just doing a good job on him. Pat Robinson and all that bunch could hear some truth once in a while instead of listening to
they live in an echo chamber, Ed.
Yeah. Maybe it would do them some good. There's always room, but I still think, I hope he didn't have time to repent. You know, I hope it come on him that he's going to have to eat all the stuff he's done. He raised a garden, let him reap it.
Amen to that. Thank you, Ed.
All righty.
Thank you. Take care now.
All right. Good night.
Bye now. That reminds me of an email I got from our buddy Cindy in the Great Northwest. She says, it's so good to hear a person with a Christian footing describe the passing of that awful old person Falwell. He fell well today, didn't he? Can you imagine standing before the gate asking to be let in with his record? He is the poster child for taking the name of God in vain, isn't he? His name tells us who he is, the one who fell well, and I don't mean a water hole. He's standing there as we speak, forced to listen to humankind tell the powers that be that he is not worth saving. Tell you what, Bob, if God Almighty forgives Falwell and lets him into heaven, I don't want to go there. Because I don't believe any heaven would be a place where good people had to put up with the likes of this devil again. I hope his kids come out and expose him after they get their cash. Nah, they're not going to expose anybody, because, see, there's more sheeple out there, Cindy, and that means that there's more cash to be gotten. You know, if you... I don't know how to quite put this, but after the conquest... I talked right through the news. Go do the news, Bob. We'll do this afterward. Okay.
Tubby Toast!
Yes, he is. This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn, America's liberal voice. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Listen, Jesus, I don't like what I see. All I ask is that you listen to me. And remember, I've been your right-hand man all along. You have set them all on fire. They think they found the new Messiah. And they'll hurt you when they find they're wrong. I remember when this whole thing began. No talk of God, then we called you a man. And believe me, my admiration for you hasn't died.
This is the Quality News Network. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez today praised the number two man in the Justice Department, Deputy Attorney General Paul McNulty, who resigned yesterday. But Gonzalez went on to blame McNulty for recommending that eight U.S. attorneys be fired. McNulty is the third person to resign in the wake of those controversial firings. The White House today reconfirmed its support of Gonzalez. President Bush's search for a war czar is now over. Army Lieutenant General Douglas Lute will oversee the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. As Senior Deputy National Security Advisor to the President, Lute will advise on policy and put that policy into effect. The search for someone to fill the position has been lengthy, and many were said to have turned it down. In Pakistan, near the Afghan border, a suicide bomber attacked a crowded restaurant today. At least 25 people were killed. The killer reportedly had taped to his leg a warning to spies for America. In Iraq, U.S. forces have arrested 11 people in connection with three missing U.S. soldiers believed to have been taken by an Al-Qaeda-linked group Saturday. 4,000 American forces are searching for their three comrades south of Baghdad. Factional fighting has escalated in Gaza today. At least 15 people were killed in clashes between forces loyal to Hamas and Fatah, the two main political groups. The International Nuclear Watchdog Agency reports that Iran is enriching uranium on a much larger scale than before. Inspectors have concluded that the country has solved its technological problems, according to an article in the New York Times. And the Bush administration continues to stand behind embattled World Bank President Paul Wolfowitz, despite the widely criticized pay deal that he arranged for his bank employee girlfriend. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice has said Russia will not veto U.S. plans to put a missile defense shield in Europe. She made that statement today during a visit with Russian President Vladimir Putin near Moscow. During the same visit, the two sides agreed that they will ease up on the tone of their rhetoric to improve strained ties. And the Reverend Jerry Falwell has died in Lynchburg, Virginia. The 73-year-old founder of the Moral Majority had a history of heart problems. Throughout the 1980s, the televangelist was seen as the face of the religious right in America. You're listening to the Quality News Network, Science and Business, next.
If you're a news junkie, there's a book you must read called Don't Mess with the Press, How to Write, Report, and Produce Quality Television News. Don't Mess with the Press is a textbook for journalism students and a handbook for people already in the business. While written primarily as an instructional guide, Don't Mess with the Press is also useful for people who follow the news closely, who want to understand how news decisions are made by quality reporters to ensure they get the best news coverage possible. Don't Mess with the Press was written by Tony Seaton, founder and executive producer of the Quality News Network. Tony began his broadcast journalism career in his teens, eventually covering Watergate, six elections, five space shots, and a wide range of general news. He also produced Barbara Walters' news interviews for ABC. Ordering information for Don't Mess with the Press can be found at qualitynewsnetwork.com. Visit our website and click on the Don't Mess with the Press link.
A new government study finds men who take a high-dose daily multivitamin may increase their risk of dying from prostate cancer. The study found heavy multivitamin users were almost two times more likely to develop a fatal case of the disease. That's compared with men who never took the pills. Experts say more research on a possible link is needed. The study will appear in tomorrow's Journal of the National Cancer Institute. One attorney called it a settlement of historic proportions. He was talking about Tyco International's agreement today to pay nearly $3 billion to shareholders. It's one of the biggest corporate fraud cases in U.S. history. Top officers were convicted in 2006 of stealing from the company and inflating its value. The IRS reports a record 77 million taxpayers filed electronic returns this year. The agency also says that the average refund went up 2.5%. The worst city for road rage in the U.S. is Miami, according to a survey by AutoVantage. It's the second time Miami topped that list. The most courteous drivers were in Portland, Oregon. Light sweet crude is trading at $64.59 a barrel. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow was up 37 points at 13,383, another record high. The Nasdaq closed down 21. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Laurel Chrisson.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins next. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
14 past, 45 minutes left in the program. I love some of the comments. I was sent a link to a YouTube thing, and you know how the comments go over there. You all should be ashamed of yourselves making nasty comments about Falwell. He's dead. Wait, did you mean Jerry Falwell? The religious bigot, scum, weasel, subhuman who should have been shot at birth? I thought you meant Joey Falwell from down the block. Jerry Falwell dead? About damn time. I'm having a party and do not feel at all bad about it. The creature should rot. And then there's Pat Robertson. You're next. You know, really, given my choices, Pat's just crazier than a sprayed roach. It's Dobson's funeral I want to celebrate next. You know, I saw another comment over regarding an editorial that was written by a great guy, Rob Call, over at opednews.com. Some of our friends post articles there from time to time. Our good buddy Charlie Sullivan does. Rob wrote, you know, he was trying to speak truth, and immediately some little sissy pants jumps in and says, "Now don't be petty, just like the other side's doing. Somebody's got to tell a little bit of daggum truth about this freak, because we are going to have an orgy of this man of God touched many lives." For heaven's sakes, Al Sharpton is out there saying good things about this monster. So out of the media orgy that we're going to be subjected to, we can have 3 hours of truth telling. I don't think I've ever devoted 3 hours to a single subject in all the time I've been doing this. This one deserves it because even if we go and look at other topics, it still comes back around. Because so much of what is wrong with this country, Jerry Falwell gave birth to. You want to know why George W. Bush is in the White House? Ask Jerry Falwell. You want to know why Ronald Reagan the polluted the White House for 8 long, sad, sorry years of Central American slaughter, Middle Eastern deceit, and general economic double dealing? Ask Jerry Falwell. Jerry Falwell wet his pants at the name Ronald Reagan at the same time that Ronald Reagan was ordering the slaughter of tens of thousands of civilians in Central America, in Nicaragua and Guatemala and Honduras and El Salvador. At the same time that Ronald Reagan and George
Pappy Bush were engaging in a con job to keep American citizens, our fellow Americans, keep them held hostage by the Iranians in order to perfect their sick, bloody desire for political power and to effect political destruction upon the last decent man that occupied the White House, Jimmy Carter, at the same time. So we're going to do some truth-telling. You want to know why Southerners, who call themselves now, I was a Reagan Democrat, but the Democrat Party, I didn't leave the Democrat Party, the Democrat Party left me. You want to know where that crap got started? It got started in the pulpit of the Thomas Road Baptist Church in Lynchburg, Virginia, by God. What a fraud. What a con. What a shell game. That man actually conned people into believing that a brown-skinned Palestinian carpenter who preached peace and love actually wanted them to vote for a man who was all about death and destruction and murder and killing. I suppose if there's going to be a decent word, there will be no decent words about Jerry Falwell. There's one decent, he's dead. But I'll make this comment, he was a genius of his sort. Imagine being able to take Southerners who were finally beginning to crawl out of the virulent cesspool of racism and turn them around immediately into a brand new kind of hate and one that they could feel really good about. The liberals. The liberals are trying to take away your Bible. Try really hard not to swear on this program. Oh, but Lordy. Yeah, I mean really serious swearing. You know, Jerry Falwell, you go take a flying... Nope, not gonna do it. But that's where Falwell comes from. He was the son of Hezekiah Falwell and some woman. And he couldn't even pass the classes at Lynchburg Community College. And so he ran off to somewhere where instead of having to study mathematics or physics or biology or anything where you actually have to know something, He went off to magician school, where they taught him dispensationalism and premillennialism and dominionism and reconstructionism and a bunch of other happy horse crap, like how many angels can dance on the head of a pin. And which more than physics or biology or chemistry or mathematics or astronomy, which by using those bogus BS topics, he could control the lives of millions. Legislators who were in favor of right to work were elected to office in southern states because of the endorsement of Jerry Falwell. People who'd believed in decent wages and decent pensions and health care were destroyed because, you know, they were unionists because of Jerry Falwell.
Jerry Falwell's daddy, well, some would describe him as an entrepreneur. He was a bootlegger. And you know what? The apple falleth not far from the tree, yea, verily I say unto you. He was also, and his grandfather was an atheist. Actually, back then they were called free thinkers, because they believed that it laid within human possibility to solve human problems and not sit around and wait for the magic to happen. How do you get to a point in America where the Attorney General is John Ashcroft, whose first act in office is to put a drape over the dirty aluminum boobies of a naked statue of justice? How? Jerry Falwell. That's how. To the phones we go. Susan is calling from Columbia City, Oregon. Hey, Susan, welcome to the program.
Hi, Rob.
How are you?
Oh, hanging in there. Got a couple of goodies for you.
Okay.
By the way, I'm going to probably be needing the formula for decontamination. I've been crawling around the free-through-bill.
Oh, it's a nasty business.
Yes, nasty, nasty.
Let's see. I believe our buddy Clyde at WD40.com says it's a combination of Clorox, apple cider vinegar, and I forget what the other one was.
Pickle juice, wasn't it?
Yeah, pickle juice, I think, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, the abortion clinic bomber that you mentioned. Now, if that had been some black dude who had raped a few women, he wouldn't have been able to do anything along those lines.
Oh, no, no, no. He'd be dead.
Secondly, what I wanted to mention was, you know, the whole thing that Falwell preached was basically anti-women.
Yeah.
But you can bet your bippy, as lights went out on dear old Jerry, he was whimpering for his mama.
Guaranteed. Guaranteed, as Justin Wilson used to say. I guarantee.
Yeah, you just bet your last dollar. I'm sure you're aware of something called the threefold path.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. For those who aren't, it's basically a philosophy of a variation on the what you sow, so shall you reap, only we do it three times over. Personally, I just happen to think the three times over routine just happened to catch up with your old Gary.
Well, that would be, works for me. Whatever caught him, I'm glad it didn't let go.
Oh yeah, so am I. But I just happen to think, you know, hey, time came out, karma caught up with him and said, hey, time's come, fellas. Whoop. And he's in for a heck of a shock because he's not going anywhere. But Free for Real is going gaga.
Are they really?
And you know what? Yeah, and they've got two main things. One is they're screaming bloody murder about Jimmy Carter still. What that has to do about Jerry Falwell dying, don't ask me, but they're still screaming about him. Secondly, they are frothing at the mouth about Democratic Underground.
Why? Because they're enjoying it? I mean, Freeperville spends most of its time, you know, typing with one hand and frothing about Democratic Underground, but, you know, it goes without saying.
Yeah, scratching the fleas in unmentionable places with the other hand.
Well, you know, you mentioned the threefold path, and I want to share something with you. I won't give away the website where it came from, but there was a posting of someone saying, you know, join us this evening on Head On with Bob Kincaid as we celebrate the death of Jerry Falwell. And one individual posted, I don't want to dance on anyone's grave. That is against what I believe in. Am I happy that he has met his maker? No doubt. And then goes on to say, I was at work for most of this, but I will not dance on a grave or celebrate death. I am Wiccan, if one must give it a label. Death is a journey into one's life. I wish Jerry Falwell that journey. I hope he peeks in on real life, but I wish his soul a final journey wherever that journey takes him.
I got news for you. That person ain't Wiccan. That person's Christian. I'm Wiccan. A Wiccan, for one thing, a Wiccan does not believe once you're dead, you go on to another one. Sorry, don't work that way. You get one shot, this is it.
There ain't no dress rehearsal.
Yeah, there's no heaven, no hell. This is it. Do what you will. You can, and the next turning of the wheel, you may come back as, well, you come back and you start paying for all the mess you did in the previous lives. But it may take you a long, long time. And you won't notice it.
Well, there's that other, there's other stuff, you know. Dancing on his grave kind of brings us down to his level. Who wants to be there? You know, and I don't see it that way. I'm sure that there are, you know, that's one of the problems we have as liberals and progressives. We got a lot of squishies out there, Susan.
Yeah, we've got a lot of, those are the quote, the world is a wonderful place and it is a good place. And if we are,
are those the people that I've seen reference to a moniker in the blogosphere lately of the people who show up on blogs and they've got a name for them now. They are concern trolls. Have you heard that phrase?
Oh my God!
Yeah, I'm concerned that we're becoming like the other side. I'm concerned that there's so much hate in what you say. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, have you seen these people? You know, like I said, that's one of our problems. When we understand, you know, that list I gave of why do we have it, you have it because of Jerry Falwell. If just once somebody would have stood up and publicly called out Jerry Falwell, bloodied his nose, pointed him out for the hypocrite that he was, and sent him back into the swamp where he came from. You don't get Ronald Reagan. You don't get John Ashcroft in his drape. You don't get George W. Bush. You don't get half of this filth. You don't get the Christian right. You don't get the moral majority. They had to be, if someone would have stood up and stomped him out when the opportunity arose, America would be a vastly different place right now.
It's easy to pull a weed when it's small. And if somebody had done that when he was just starting out, no problem. But nobody did. Nobody had the balls. And now we got this mess. And as for the concern poll, personally, you know what I think they are?
What's that?
I think they're right wingers.
Or wannabes.
Who have figured out, hey, this is a really, really good way to split the left.
Yeah.
Because how does that work, Jim?
Oh, but then again, we are so crystalline on the left that we split along predictable lines. You see it with this. You saw it with the Israeli snot bombing of Lebanon. You see it in the immigration debate. And all that stuff is just thrown out there to drive a wedge among a group of people that, if they decided to stand together for a little while and work their differences out later, could control the country.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's how they do it. They drive wedges. And I think that's one way that these people have figured out, okay, let's go in and we'll make like a liberal. And that's their idea of how a liberal acts, you know, super, super concerned. Horse pucky. I'm a liberal. That doesn't necessarily mean I give up my right to be ticked.
White, right. I understand completely. Susan, thank you very kindly. And be careful. I mean, make sure you get all the freeper juice off of you, all right?
Yes, I will endeavor to do so, and if nothing else, it's slippery, so I got to be careful about the stairs.
Yeah, no more tricks on the stairs, please, Susan.
Yes.
Take care.
Yeah, have a nice night.
All right. Bye-bye. You too. Be well.
Bye-bye.
Bye. I understand what some people are getting at, but you know what? I define this job myself for myself. God, I'm beginning to sound like Austin Powers. Allow myself to introduce myself. And I'm going to call out evil where I see it. And, you know, the other side of the political spectrum threw around evil rather casually. Evildoers. I generally wait until I really see it, and then I call it. Jerry Falwell was an evil, evil man, because his goal was, while, as Sinclair Lewis noted from the conversation, he was quoted by our new good friend, Mikey Weinstein. ReligiousLiberty.org, by the way. Something that Jerry Falwell virulently opposed, by the way, religious liberty for members of the military. Sinclair Lewis said, "Fascism will come to America wrapped in a flag and carrying a cross." And is there a better eulogy for Jerry Falwell? Jesus, God, I just peeped in at CNN. Look at this headline. Loathed by liberals, Falwell was force among right wing. Yeah, because, you know, that's us, the hate merchants. Kumbaya, my lord, kumbaya. Oh, he's singing again. The Reverend Jerry Falwell died of heart failure at age 73. I think it was crack or meth. His doctor said Tuesday, Falwell founded a movement to turn hot-button social issues into staples of American political debate. In other words, that's journalism speak for he brought hate to the forefront of America. Couldn't get away with hating people for their skin color anymore, at least not openly, so he found new ground to he found new fields to plow of sexual hate and gender hate and political hate. The liberals! Yeah, I'm not really hating. I'm just calling him on it. He wrote, "Religious voters cannot be silent about the sins that are destroying this nation," which he identified as pornography, abortion, amoral liberals, drugs, welfare, and the abandonment of biblical morality. Funny, he didn't get around to mentioning not loving thy neighbor as thyself, not taking up one's cross and following. Oh, no. Because if anybody who is at one time or ever or will inhabit planet Earth, if there was one person who got crapped on every day of Jerry Falwell's life, it was Yeshua the brown-skinned Palestinian carpenter. You know, I've had people say, "Bob, you're so negative toward religion. Why?" There's why! I'm going to call myself a Christian when that thing is calling itself a Christian? If that's Christianity, I want no part of it. If there's a heaven that he's in, I don't want to go there. And that's not small or petty of me. It is honest of me. Tell a story. All this stuff that comes home to roost because of Jerry Falwell. We're dealing with a situation right now. Back up, Bob. A few years ago, the Attorney General of the state of West Virginia, a very good and decent man named Daryl McGraw, who is hated by the Republicans in the right wing, hated, instituted a program within the Attorney General's office that worked with individual schools and school boards to stop a real scourge inside West Virginia's schools, because We have a problem, an education problem, an under-education problem, and it is generational in nature, and the violence and the bigotry and the hatred and it just goes from one generation to the next. So Attorney General McGraw instituted a program to battle bullying in the public schools. I may have told this story before. If I have, I apologize. But it's apropos right now. And no sooner had the program been put in place than the organizations fostered by the likes of Falwell and by Falwell himself went to war against the program, because included in the anti-bullying program was the idea that you shouldn't beat the snot out of somebody because they're not the same skin color. Or you shouldn't beat the snot out of somebody because they're not the same gender as you. And you shouldn't beat the snot out of somebody because they're not the same religion as you. And you shouldn't beat the snot out of somebody because maybe they've got a physical defect or difference from you. They don't walk the same or ambulate the same or get around the same. Or maybe you don't beat the snot out of somebody because they've got a speech impediment and don't speak the same as you do. And included in that whole laundry list of all the reasons that hateful little children who have been raised by hateful bigger parents shouldn't do this, there was one little mention that you shouldn't hate and bully someone because you think they don't have sex the right way. And the Baptists and the Pentecostals and the Assemblies of God and the Presbyterians and the Lutherans and the Methodists and fundamentalists of every stripe came together and formed the West Virginia Family Values Coalition. And they went to war against that program because they said it was their constitutional right for their hateful, vicious little spawn to torment other children by calling them faggot and queer and fairy and dyke and lesbo. It was their constitutional right to have their children do that. All of this, of course, came from the training camps of Jerry Falwell, James Dobson, Pat Robertson, the whole filthy swine lot of them. Now, back in elementary school, when a child would take a swing at my son, he'd swing back. Until finally, one kid did it, and my son turned around and beat the living piss out of him for defending himself. My son was suspended from school for 3 days by a principal who is a right-wing fundamentalist freak. He's moved on to middle school now, where the kids are even more vicious, my son has. And we explained to him that the school had said he could no longer defend himself, that if he was going to get an ass beaten, he had to take it. And that is my fault. It is not my wife's. He came home yesterday from school and told us a story about how the little boys had come to him as he was sitting on the bleachers during a break in the standardized testing. A group of boys, a couple that don't even live very far from here. Hell, none of them live far from here. It's a small community. And they came up and they called him faggot. My son. My sweet, brilliant, athletic, talented, quick, kind, decent son who's in fifth grade and whose idea of sex is something icky that he hopes he never sees his mother and father do. my eyes, you know, that kind of thing. Who says, you know, I like what's her name, and he'll put little girl's name here. Do you think if I asked her to go to the dance, she'd go with me? Because they have dances in fifth grade now at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and they're very, very big, very important social affairs. And so these boys come up to my son on the bench, and they call him faggot and queer. Sixth graders, seventh graders. And they throw my son off the bleachers. And when he's down on the ground, they walk up to him and proceed to kick him all over his body. And they don't stop. And they kick, and one of them, with all the force he can muster, kicks my son between the legs while he's screaming at him what a faggot he is. He was afraid to tell the principal or any of the teachers because they told him that they would kill him next time if he did. And he came home, and Agnes came to me and said, this is one of those daddy things, I think. And she had my son pull down his pants and show me where his genitals were red and horribly swollen and bruised. And he looked at me and he said, Daddy, I'm not a faggot. Why do they keep calling me a faggot, Daddy? And I said, Son, because they're ignorant, because they're stupid, because they're bigots who have had their bigotry handed to them by their very parents, and their parents got it from their grandparents, and their grandparents got it from their great-grandparents. And you speak well, son, and you're funny, and you're quick, and you're smart, and you make good grades, and you're athletic, and you're talented, and they hate you for every last bit of that, because all that's ever going to happen to that trash has happened to them already. And he looked at me, and he said, but Daddy, it hurts when they do that. So Agnes took the boy over to the doctor's office today, where they documented the bruises all over his body and the injuries to his reproductive organs. And told him that he can't go back to school for a while. That he was to have no activity. What did they say, Agnes? No lifting, no exertion, no stressful activity. But he wants to go back to school, and he will. And you see, there might be some recourse against someone. He's a fifth grader. He has no sexuality beyond a vague feeling that girls are kind of pretty, you know. And there might be some recourse if he could defend himself. Or there might be some recourse if a bunch of so-called fake, so-called Christians, so-called followers of Christ, followers of Falwell, followers of Dobson, followers of Robertson, Robison, and D. James Kennedy,
who believe they have a constitutional right to teach their children to hate. But you see, they attacked and they killed the Attorney General's anti-bullying program. So you see, here in hairy-knuckled West Virginia, bullying is good. Bullying is right. Bullying is righteous and Christian. And I thought about it a lot over the course of the evening last night. And I came to my son this morning and I said, "Listen to me. If one of those little troglodytes ever lays another hand on you, I am telling you, son, you lay about you like Samson of old with the jawbone of an ass and don't leave one of them standing. If they throw you out of school, boy, I've got a doctorate and your mother is a nurse, and between the two of us we can give you enough education to get into any college in this country, and we'll do it. But you don't have to take that crap." Now, I also explained to him this is not an excuse to go and do preemptive war. You don't get to go and get them back because... And I used a sports analogy. I said, "Look, we watch football together. You know how it is. The guy who pushes back after the guy's pushed him in the first place is the guy who gets the flag." But I said, "You claw. You kick. You bite. You pull hair. You gouge eyes. You stomp. You punch. You elbow. Because that is the only thing these little knuckle walkers understand. And because of the good Baptists and the Methodists and the Episcopals that live in this community, people can walk up to my son and say, 'Hey, faggot.'" And attack him. And so, I don't know. Maybe some would say there's no relationship between this and Jerry Falwell, but by God, I have watched it. I have watched it since 1977 when I started paying attention. And I was part of it too, because I spoke. What's that line? What's that line from Don Williams' "Good Old Boys Like Me"? But I could choose, learn to. When I was a kid, I ran with a kid down the block, down the street, and I watched him burn himself up on bourbon and speed. But I was smarter than most, and I could choose, learn to talk like the man on the 6 o'clock news. When I was 18, Lord, I hit the road. Because, see, I felt it too as a child, growing up in a place where people walk on their knuckles. I didn't talk like them. My parents weren't from around there. And I got faggot, queer, fairy, pansy. And God, it hurts. And here it is, another generation, and it's being condoned again because Jesus hates the queers. And yeah, it is about Jerry Falwell and the people who followed him and believed that somehow or another a man who said "love thy neighbor as thyself" would approve of the free speech rights of good American Christians to teach their children to call other children queer. Because you see, what scares me
is that if it's not my son, it'll be someone else's son. It'll be Matthew Shepard. It'll be someone that some mother has loved from pregnancy through gestation, through birth and nurturing and feeding and the bumps and the bruises and the first words and the first teeth and the learning to walk, crawl and the learning to walk and the toddling and the running and the, hey boy, catch this. Oh, good catch, son. And one day you get a call in the middle of the night. Could you come and identify the body? And that call has been taken thousands upon thousands of times all around this country by people who have lost the most precious people in their lives, their progeny, because some ignorant, stupid, religion-infested, infected, polluted, redneck asshole didn't like the way somebody talked and decided that therefore made them a faggot. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe the right wing religion industry goons don't understand that you don't have to be gay to be subjected to a gay hate crime. Maybe if we took out one of Falwell's grandkids and called him faggot and stomped him, they'd understand. But it doesn't happen to their children, because their children live in gated communities and go to little white private Christian schools where they don't have to deal with the side effects of their bigotry and their filth and their hate. So Jerry Falwell, I wish there was a burning hell, because I'd like for you to be in it. Because even in death, his legacy will follow him. Every time you hear someone justifying murder, assault, malicious wounding, battery, asserting that the guarantee of free speech in the First Amendment of the Constitution somehow covers their right to hate a fifth grader, you know that Jerry Falwell is still alive and kicking and kicking and kicking. Hope you guys enjoy the debates. I guess I'll sit down and watch them too. I don't know. I think I'd rather listen to Malloy. Thanks for putting up with that little bit of personal diatribe. I hope if I offended anybody, I apologize. Thanks, Agnes, for doing a lovely job this evening. Thanks to David in Tennessee, Peter Godbold, and Billy Shears, who did a wonderful job of pulling together music and sound bites for this little 3-hour-long obituary. Thanks to our announcer, Brian Reznor. Thanks to our engineer, John Fox. Many, many thanks, continuing thanks, to Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org, who maintains the streams, the archives, and the podcasts of all the programs on the Horn. He's trying to raise the money that will keep the lights on there. If you haven't donated, please do so. Donations have been slack this time around. Our thanks to the United Brotherhood of Carpenters, who are building the American dream, and because they provided the startup support for this network, are helping us to save the American dream. Liza, we're trying to build a better world, baby. For you. And always, 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 or MR. Gina, it's a whole thing. Former Powell aide says Bush and Cheney guilty of high crimes. Cheney caught saying, kick the press out, at an Iraq briefing. Bush changes plan for emergency shadow government. Wesley Clark rips Bill O'Reilly for character assassination. Gonzalez testifies before House Judiciary Committee. Conyers tells Gonzalez, no, let's keep talking about the U.S. attorneys. Administration withheld emails about Karl Rove. Gonzalez testimony contradicts White House revealing Bush conversation over U.S. attorney firings. Report says torture architect feels guilty for Abu Ghraib. Delay to headline ethics seminar. Putin is said to compare U.S. policies to Third Reich. Rice heads to Russia and criticizes Putin. Money health woes haunt Katrina victims, says study. Bush faces pressure on Iraq as Blair leaves. Bush hints at Iraq funding deal. Michael Moore faces U.S. Treasury investigation over sicko documentary's Cuba trip and probe to dig for past life on Mars. These are the issues ahead on the Jeff Allen Wolf Show. It's time to enter the Wolf's Den.